Hey, freak bitches, we're back. Da da da, da da da, da da da, da 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 da. This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. If you run a small business out of your house, the last thing you want to do is fucking measure shit and weigh it at the post office. Good googly moogly, Joey Diaz. Good googly moogly. You don't want to be in that fucking line talking to some person who doesn't want to talk to you, waiting and waiting while some asshole in front of you is trying to buy stamps. Trust me, do this shit on your own computer. It's way easier. You do it all printed out. You measure it yourself. They give you a scale. It's a sweet deal. If you click on the old schooly looking microphone in the upper right hand corner, and you use the code word JRE, get this special offer. No risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. It's an excellent service, one that Brian Redband himself uses when he sends out those kitty cat t-shirts. It makes it so a person can actually run a business from your house with no bullshit. So go to stamps.com, use the code word JRE, and get your super sweet offer, you sexy bitches, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. That's stamps.com, and the code word is JRE. We're also brought to you by Audible.com, the best resource on the internet if you're looking for audio entertainment, whether it's books or radio shows like the Opie and Anthony show. I believe they have some podcasts on there as well. We thought they had Dan Carlin's podcast, but we were mistaken. When I talked to Dan about it, he's like, nope, you're just making that shit up.
I love that guy. What a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. If you listen to his podcast, yeah, you'll like him even more. Once you listen to the podcast, then you really like the guy because you're like, oh, this guy's like, he's making a masterpiece. He's, you know, what we're doing is just sitting around talking shit. And I appreciate that you guys enjoy it, but the amount of effort that goes into doing one of these, it's you know, it's so tiny compared to what he's doing. He's essentially doing a real audiobook every time he releases a podcast. So it takes a few weeks to put each one out, but they're masterpieces. And he's so dramatic, like it makes listening to history exciting. But there's a lot of fucking cool books that they have on Audible.com. There's a plethora, over 100,000 different titles. They even have stand-up comedy. I know they have some of my shit up there. It's a sweet, what is that, Ender's Game?
Yeah.
Who's, what book is that? What is that? I've heard of this before.
It's the war with, like, in like 100 years into the future. It's really good. It's 20 years old.
Is it really?
Huh?
20 years ago was not that long ago. How weird is that?
There's a movie coming out about it.
I used to think 20 years ago was like, God, it was so long ago. Remember when you were a kid? You thought, God, 20 years ago it was the 1960s. What the fuck? You know, how ridiculous is that? And then you realize, oh, that shit happens rather quick.
Yeah.
Which is really weird when you wrap your head around it and you think from 1950 to 2013 how different shit is. But it's only, you know, 63 years.
August is almost over. Doesn't it seem like it was just August?
Dude, time's flying. So what is this Ender's Game? This is they're making it into a book?
This is an Audible book, but they're also making it into a movie.
Or, excuse me, making it into a movie?
Yeah.
Well, the beautiful thing about Audible is for fucking traffic and if you're on a plane or something like that, if you don't want to listen to a podcast, if you don't want to listen to us, this is a great way to go. And over 100,000 different titles. And if you go to audible.com, you can... What is the fucking... Hold on a second. I think there's like a new thing we have to say with Audible.
Oh, no.
Which one is... No, it's Squarespace. Squarespace is the confusing one because they want the number afterwards. They want Joe 8.
To track the months.
Yeah. I think audible.com, you just go to audible.com/Joe. You get, yeah, that's all it is. And you get one free audio book and 30 free days of service. It's a sweet deal. And as far as like a resource of information, of cool audiobooks, nothing can fuck with Audible. It's an amazing site. They also support stand-up comedy. They even had a live thing where they were doing every week, people would do like a new 5 minutes and shit didn't really work out because that's a lot of fucking time to come up with in 5 weeks. People don't like to think that, but to have like a rock solid 5 new minutes every week that you're really proud of that you'd want to put online.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah, so Steve Marmel was doing that. He was doing that every week. I remember they had a contract with him and a couple other dudes. And, you know, Marmel's real topical, so he was like trying to like just constantly write topical jokes about funny shit that's happening in the news or what have you. But it was it's fucking brutal. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's too hard to do. You could do it, but man, you got to be on the ball every day if you want it to really truly represent you. So I think they stopped doing that, but they have Earth by John Stewart. Does John Stewart read it? He's got to read it. You can't have somebody else read it. Scroll back up. Oh. Not that one. Is that God No, Penn Jillette? Yeah. Does he read his own?
Oh, let's see. That'd be a great important. One. Of course he did.
Yes. Yeah, of course he did. Yeah. Why did he even ask?
Sarah Silverman, fucking destroyed on the roast. Jesus.
Oh, she's
Christ.
Hilarious, man. Yeah. She's hilarious, and she reads her own shit, too. She's a very funny person. She's, in my opinion, like, as far as, like, chick stand-ups, and I hate to break them up into chicks, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, she's, like, top 2-3 all time, you know? But what women have been, like, I mean, and I know a lot of people say, what about Lucille Ball? She's more of a comedic actress, you know? And as far as stand-ups, I think Joan Rivers is the queen. I don't think you can fuck with Joan Rivers. She's been funny for, like, 80 years.
Yeah.
You can't fuck with her. She's number one. Women of all time, Joan Rivers. And then you got, like, the Paula Poundstones, and you got, like,
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr, who's a crusher.
I just heard an amazing interview with her on Ron and Fez the other day.
She's the real deal.
She, you know what?
She's the real deal, guys.
Her and Joan Rivers, man, that's actually kind of close when you think about that. Mm-hmm. She's a beast. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We got to get Rosie.
She's fucking funny, man.
She's funny, man.
She was strong. In the 80s, I remember she was funny, like, the best guys in the world were funny. You know, I mean, she was a killer. She didn't give a fuck. And then when they gave her a TV show, she gave less fucks.
Mm-hmm.
She's a beast.
She was talking about how she, like, her first show or first comedy show in L.A., like, she had only been doing, I think, comedy, like, 2 years. Mitzi loved her. And that same show, like her first night in L.A.
The Tonight Show.
Yeah, that she booked the Tonight Show on the first night.
That is insane.
We got to get her on the podcast. I talked to her, like she was thinking about stopping by her San Diego show and Comic-Con.
So you chat with her?
Yeah, on Twitter. She follows
cool.
me.
She's cool, so though. Cool. She's cool as shit.
Well, she follows me on Twitter. Like she cool asks me questions sometimes. She's all into like New World Order type shit. Dude,
like, imagine smoking weed with her.
Yeah.
Having her on a podcast.
Dude, it'd be amazing.
Listen,
I just love to give her a
Letterman. Tape it, even if you can't watch it.
Look, I did Rosie O'Donnell's show just to meet Rosie. I really did. I think she's badass. I like her. Whether I agree with what she says about things or not, I think Rosie's got some balls. And she doesn't seem like an asshole to me at all.
No, when they had that show on VH1 with the badge, the stand-up badge, that the host quit and Rosie took over, that was when she was a strong-ass woman. And the girl you like, dog, she rips up some fucking stages, too.
Who?
What's the chick on Channel 5 every day, the one that's seen you at the bus stop?
Channel 5.
The lesbian chick that's seen you on the bus stop. You went on her show the other day. You were looking for tickets.
Oh, you're talking about...
That chick, right?
Ellen DeGeneres?
Ellen DeGeneres used to rip it up in her fucking day, too, dog.
Yeah,
there's a couple motherfuckers that ripped it up.
Paula Poundstone ripped it up.
The chick from the Comedy Store, the one that was in with them. They smoked the joint with the chick with the fucking big tits. Lily Tomlin. She used to rip up the fucking store.
Oh, yeah. She had like, she would do like more of a theatrical thing. Yeah, like a one woman show. But I think, you know, in my opinion, Sarah Silverman's right up there. I think she's one of the top ones.
Let's go.
Top ones of all time.
Rivers with a strong Roseanne kicking the fucking
I don't know, man. I'm
like Roseanne.
Roseanne might have been better. Like, as her delivery. Man, no, it's fucking hard.
Yeah,
dude.
No,
it's very hard. Because Joan Rivers is still out there swinging. So in my opinion, like, you got to give her number one because she's still swinging. You know, she's still out there doing concerts
when they
and
asked
shit
her
and
if she
killing.
Was on, dog, when they asked her if she was on The Wrestler, it's one of the funniest things ever. One of the roasts,
she's pretty gangster.
They asked her if she was in The Wrestler. I almost fucking died when I heard
that. I think it's harder for a woman to do stand-up. I've always said this. I think that men are sexist for the most part, and they don't want to listen to a woman talk. You know, I think it's harder to get a lot of men's attention. And obviously that's a big generalization because there's a lot of Sarah Silverman fans from men. Or a lot of women fans of comedy that are men. But
I cheer for women when they're featuring. Mm-hmm. I cheer for women when they're featuring. And I love motherfuckers who go on stage headlining and think they're going to follow a woman on a Saturday night. Your shit better be tight. Because if this chick decides to go up there and shit goes her way, remember, that's half women. Shit goes her way. You're going to have a rough time. And I've seen it happen.
Oh, you know I've seen Barry Beaumont Bacon. I was going to say
bro,
that.
I've seen a Barry motherfucker with ego at the store. Don't fuck around with women sometimes. I've seen Shane Matash bury motherfuckers in the OR.
Yeah.
I've seen her bury motherfuckers in the OR. There's a lot of women who will take that room and flip you. They don't have titties. They don't give a fuck. They look like they've been fucked in the ass 1,000 times. And they go up there with that attitude, and you're sitting there going, wow. What was the Puerto Rican chick at the store early on that married, what's his name?
What are you talking about?
That she had the kid with what's his name, and she did a couple episodes of NYPD Blue, and she was on her way. I saw her in there a couple Tuesday nights, and I was like, damn, this bitch, if she was on the road for a few years, she had a kid. By that time she had the kid, she'd sit the kid in the fucking bar at the Comedy Store and go do 15 minutes.
Well, I think I told you that, like, one of the most promising sets of an open micer I ever saw was Kelly Kirsten.
Kelly Kirsten, absolutely.
Dude, let me tell you something. Kelly Kirsten, especially when she didn't have a boyfriend, she's a sweetie. And she, you know, she'd get a boyfriend, she'd calm down. But when she didn't have a boyfriend, she was fucking angry.
And
she did this bit, man. She did this bit of, I wish I was a man. You know, Kelly's like, I'm short. I'm 5'8", and she's at least 5 inches taller than me, right? I mean, how tall is she? She's 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, I would say 6'1".
She's a very tall girl, and she get fucking angry, and she's, like, real physical, and, like, she did this bit, I wish I was a man. If I was a man, I'd come in chicks and go, fuck you, have my kid. She goes, if I was a man, she goes, if I had a dick, I'd kick old ladies in the traffic. And it's like this really wild bit, man.
Listen, man.
And I was an open mic, or she was an open micer, rather. I mean, she was just starting out, and I was like, wow. I was like, this chick is, she's fucking strong.
Joe, you saw it, that the chicks that went through the Comedy Store had to sit or get off the fucking pot. They only had about 3 or 4 weeks to adjust to that style of comedy.
So
and
hostile.
You would see them go away on their own because it's 6 guys before you.
Yeah.
And you got to go up there with your little quaint material at 10:45. You had about 3 or 4 of those sets until it got back to Mitzi. So now what you had to do is go in there and go, you know what? I got to use my pussy and go in there and throw some fucking heat and throw some steam. And that's either do or die at the store. Even Sherry Shepherd. I remember Sherry Shepherd used to come in early on.
Oh, yeah.
What was the cute black girl that had the white boyfriend manager?
God damn it.
And then you had LeMaire that was all stitched up and plastic surgeryed up and shit. That were holding it together with crazy glue. And
I remember a comic that used to go to the Laugh Factory. She was asking me about the store. Like, you know, like, when should I go up? Like, when is the crowd, like, the nicest? I'm like, just like, stop. I was like, end this conversation right now. You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about chaos. Audible.com. Go to Audible. Go buy yourself some cool shit. There's a lot of books. Like I said, Sarah Silverman's book, and that's a good one. Go get that one. Get it for free. Audible.com/Joe.
Do you know her manager? Have you ever met Sarah Silverman's manager?
Which one's her manager?
Some lady who is amazing, and she was so fucking badass. She was like coming up to guys and be like, you better not fuck with Tony. If you fuck with Tony. Like it was intense. She was amazing.
What was that about?
I think Tony's managers were there. And so she just came up and started like just screaming at these two guys. It was so awesome, dude. And then I was like, who was that girl? I thought, you know, and he goes, oh, that's Sarah Silverman's manager.
That's funny.
That's badass. She's a badass.
All right. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. We do have a new thing at Onnit. We have an orangutan kettlebell now. The orangutan kettlebell is, it's like 50-something pounds. They insist on doing them in poods.
Holy shit.
One pood and two pood. It's pretty badass. Yeah, so now we have the orangutan that goes along with the chimp and the gorilla. The orangutan being the 1.5 pood, which I think is 52 pounds or something like that, or 50 pounds.
Why are you doing it with pood?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that.
So
like, what is a pood, man?
It's an old piece of poo.
It's to show we're legit, bro. Yeah, I think we're really fucking up there, Aubrey. Let's put the goddamn weight to these things.
Yeah, well, it's like fucking like kilos and shit.
Yeah, why do we have to have inside fucking secret shit like a pood? I don't even know what a pood is, and I sell these things.
Why don't you do it by ounces? That would be cooler.
I work out with these bitches every day, and I don't know what a fucking pood
fucking
is.
Pood.
What's a pood, goddammit? But what they are is these primal bells. Go to audible.com or onnit.krc.com. Kettlebells, onnit.com/kettlebells, and you'll see the regular kettlebells, which we sell, but the new ones are the primal bells. And if you go to onnit.com/primal-bells, you'll see these. And that's the orangutan. They're not as threatening looking. They have like a big mushy face.
Yeah, yeah. It's
cool
like
looking.
Was it the fat guy in Blade?
It's cool looking.
Remember the fat guy in Blade? Eric Griffin. What's his name? Eric?
It's really amazing artwork too. If you see it with the black contrast too, you can see how good the artwork is.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, these are some of the, as far as like idea to actual product, when we came up with this idea and then like seeing them now, the difference is it's perfect. The fucking gorilla is amazing, man. I can't help but look at that thing. Look at that, Joey. Look at that gorilla. That shit's incredible. I mean, look at that thing. Look at the fucking artwork on that.
This looks like, what the fuck?
It's so badass. And they're really well balanced as well. It's one of the most important things about doing this Primal Bell thing is that we wanted to make sure that if we had these gigantic kettlebells, we would, even though they have this beautiful artwork on them, we wanted to make sure they're balanced.
So what's the lightest one weigh?
35 pounds.
One
pood.
And that's the lightest one they have.
Yeah, it's 35 pounds, 1.5, which is whatever. And then there's the gorilla, which is 2, which is 70.
You think they are doing the pood because it's like monkey pood?
Yeah, no, because they're being silly.
Yeah, they're being silly.
They're being like, that's what it is in traditional. Probably. I didn't even think about it until today. It's because I'm high as fuck. And I see things clearly. When I'm really high, I see things clearly. It's very important. Yeah. So anyway, go there. Go there and check that shit out. Have some, get yourself some Hemp Force protein. Get yourself some, all kinds of battle ropes and weight vests and steel maces. Anything you need as far as like strength and conditioning. If you're trying to tell people you train UFC, yeah, you ever see that shit they do on All Access? It's me, bro. I got fucking ropes in my yard. I'm swinging around a mace. It's like old school. If we go back to sword fighting, I'm prepared. We also sell buffalo bars. They're called Tonka bars. Them shits is delicious. They're made the way the Native Americans used to make them as well, with these cranberries and buffalo meat. Buffalo's super good for you and delicious. And buffaloes are big, so if you shoot them, you're likely to hit them. It's easier to farm them that way, Joey Diaz.
What are you bothering me
for? What are you bothering me for? Anyway, onnit.com, use the code Nate Rogan. You'll save 10% off any and all supplements. Oh, and I need to say about this orangutan thing. We're going to we're donating money for each Primal Bell. Each purchase donates $5 to Save the Red Ape. Is an orangutan charity organization. So whatever this organization is called, it's unclear here on this email. I'll just read it what it says, and you'll. We'll figure it out together. It says, we launched the Orangutan Primal Bell and have linked it to an orangutan charity organization. Every purchase donates $5 to Save the Red Ape. I don't know if Save the Red Ape is the name of the organization or there's an organization that's not named. That's unclear to me in that statement, so I'll just be clear about that. But the idea is that for every one of these orangutan kettlebells we sell, $5 will go to whatever this charity is. So I guess orangutans are endangered.
Save me.
They're fucking weird looking, man. I mean, they really do look like something out of Avatar. Yeah. Look at that thing. That's a real animal. How weird is that? God damn it. An intelligent looking thing with this fucking crazy face.
Save.
Please, stop. Shut that off. I don't want to focus on that at all.
Okay.
Anyway, orangutan kettlebells in onnit.com. Use the code name Rogan. Save 10% off any and all supplements. Joey Diaz is here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
That's right. Suck it.
Start it up.
Here we go. Let's get this going.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Joey motherfucking Diaz, fresh off the road, killing them in D.C., taking it nationwide. Joey Diaz, no longer stationary, constantly on the move now.
Got no choice, brother.
You're on the move, dog.
Got no choice. And then this week we're going to Milwaukee, and I'm fucking excited. I'm going to get some good spaghetti.
Yeah.
A good Italian neighborhood over there.
Joe, you're killing them out there, man. You're killing them.
We're trying, brother. You know, this is the plan 12 years ago, and finally, you know, it ain't no. Listen, man, when you're there and you put the work in, it becomes easy, and you're enjoying it.
Yeah, you're
definitely. You can't wait to fucking stay home. You can't wait to go out and try that new joke anymore, that new delivery. You know, you're a black belt in comedy.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do now, yeah.
Very fun, you know. It's funny because I went from the two fucking tremendous shows we did in Boston, which...
Those were amazing.
Listen, man, you don't ever want to bomb in Boston.
No.
For me, end of everything. Yeah. That's Aerosmith. That's Dane Cook. That's a lot of fun. Lenny Clark. There's so much tradition. I remember the first time I played Andover. To me, I went to the store that, like, all those guys from Boston. What was the Taekwondo guy that also had sleep apnea? All your little
Leroy?
Friends from
Leroy
Boston.
Rodriguez?
No. The comedians from Boston. He had long hair, and he'd play a character.
Oh, yeah. God damn it, man.
Those guys he got me at the clubs.
What the fuck is his name?
Oh, my God. It's going to kill me. I'm sorry,
a great
dog.
Guy.
Yeah, they were all your buddies. Yeah. And they were like, dog, you ever play Boston? I'm like, nah. They're like, we'll get you in there. So they got me into the Comedy Connection on Mondays, the open mic with the kid who died, Kevin Fitzgerald, or whatever his name was. You know, that's Kevin Fitzgerald's in Denver. Kevin... He was friends with our friend McGuire, a mutual buddy. He died of cancer.
Oh, Kevin Knox, yeah.
Kevin Knox on Mondays. Yeah. They introduced me to him. So I became a part of this thing. I would do Andover, the Aku Aku, and I was never good enough to play Boston. I would get to do the Connection on Monday nights. And that's like having a fucking stripe in comedy when you get to play Boston and they accept you into that community.
Yeah.
So I knew before I went to Boston that week, I did as many sets as I could to tighten my shit up. We didn't go to Boston unprepared. It was me, you, and Ari. You know, I mean, it was just a fucking perfect night. It was funny how the next day I had to go to a summer jam up in San Jose with Russell Peters, who was a pleasure to fucking see, and Angela Johnson and all those guys. And I didn't really get across. I was burnt out from the Boston shows. Like, I put all the energy I had to those two fucking shows at the Wilbur Theater, which was great. It was a great thing that I left, and Channel Sun and One and Fox One fucking sports the whole thing. What are you going to do?
The dude's name was Dom, wasn't it?
Hit me. What was his last name?
God damn it. It's driving me crazy.
Dominic, he just hit me up and you up about sleep apnea. He wanted to go take a test about a year ago.
I can't believe I can't remember his name. I ran out of room. Great. I ran out of room for names, Joey.
Yeah,
it's no disrespect.
Fucking, no,
people don't understand that. Like,
and the attorney, there was the
Dominic Figg.
Dominic Figg. What was the nice gay kid?
I was so worried I was going to not remember his name.
What was the nice gay kid that went to Chris McGuire's house to eat dinner and your name came up? And there was two gay guys at the table, and they go, he doesn't like Joe Rogan. He goes, why not? And he goes, he called Princess Diana a cunt. And they all went, oh. They all went, oh, my God, it was horrible.
That's hilarious.
Those were great times when those guys from Boston took me, and they would take me up there. So then I went to San Jose. Then I went to D.C., and that was really the first time. I used to do, like, headliners in Tyson's Corner for years. I used to fly into Dulles. This is the first time I was in the city, and it was an experience because, I tell you what, if I would have gone 5 years ago, guys, I would have bombed this weekend.
Really? Yes. Why do you say that?
Because I learned how to control more. You know, you learn and comp. You know, it's so funny how we put ourselves out there where you never did. I didn't have a choice. They would tell me to ask me to headline, and I would go up there with stupid fucking jokes. And you would headline, and you'd have the time, but you weren't really a headliner. And it's true. When people start to come to see you, it makes you work a little harder. Like, every time you see them, you want to have new material or a new flow to you. So I had never been there, and I sharpened up this week, and I went there. And I tell you, they were very politically correct.
Yeah?
The city of D.C. downtown, hey, man, it's the nation's fucking capital. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about weed under my nuts. And you know, you can't do that. But they took the ride.
Yeah.
And as far as the club, the fucking D.C. Improv is tits. The staff, the fucking, the Spanish bartenders. I mean, the whole fucking deal is just a great little club. I had the burrito one night. Just the whole experience. The city of Washington, D.C., I had the best chicken teriyaki and white tuna I've had the last 20 fucking years.
I've done theaters there before. A couple different times, but I never did the improv before. Recently, I did it with Callan. Yeah, I just stopped
there.
Let's go back.
Okay. And do a week, three nights.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Like a two.
What, Thursday. There? You want to go back there?
Yeah. Let's go back.
It's a great place.
We had a lot of good people there.
Yeah.
I went to a lot of places here where Death Squad usually doesn't go. And I'll tell you what place really blew my fucking mind. Who? They're ready to kill people.
Where?
Salt Lake City.
Really?
The Mormons are ready, dog. They ain't fucking around. Louisville, Kentucky. They're ready. They'll come down. No, I went to Lexington, the home of University in Kentucky. Great summer. I had a great summer going to these places that were oddball, but I wanted to see what was out there. Who was listening to the fucking pop? People were driving 6-7 hours. People driving. Six,
I did
seven,
that the Louisville place.
Tremendous.
With Duncan.
Yeah, with Segura.
No, with Duncan.
Tremendous.
Maybe I did it with Segura too.
Yeah, Segura
did
too.
Did I do it twice? I think I did one night and a weekend or something like
I'm
that.
I'm going back to Nashville this year. I can't wait.
Oh, Nashville's great. Nashville's great.
Is Utah really that crazy? Like, is, I mean, like, are the, people the crazy out
squad,
there?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, the people out
they're
there.
They're coming. I'm thinking of doing...
Oh, you, what you mean is, like, are they, like, crazy Mormon?
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. Do they party there?
Yeah, but that's Mormon.
Joe, did you see this map? It's kind of like what you've talked about. It's of all the porn searches that they just released. Pornhub did it. And, of course, what you used to always say, the South, Ebony, is all Ebony. But Utah, blank, and somebody, people are saying it's because child porn is the number one.
What?
Search.
Well, Utah is blank. That's weird. It's like one of the few states where there's no downloads of porn.
Right.
Wow. Look at Maine.
Look at
like Vermont.
Yeah.
They just gave up.
Asian, California. I don't know what Anita Queen is. Do you know what Anita Queen is?
No.
Never even heard of that.
What is this website that you're going to?
This is Gizmodo. And it's based off statistics given by Pornhub. Cream pie is Florida. Teen is Texas.
What's that noise? You not hearing that?
No.
Here's some crazy feedback.
Meow. Cream pie was a lot more popular than imagined. But
cream pie is like number one.
Yeah, I think cream pie is probably number one, and teens probably.
Well,
number
because
two.
People like to come into people.
Yeah.
But cream pie.
Like, no, like most of them are cream pies.
Well, that's what people like, I think. Let me look at this. Yeah. I don't know what the map looks like. You know, I heard that Al Franken can draw the map. Like, you could get Al Franken up to a chalkboard, and he could just draw the map for you. And I was kind of, like, sad. Because I was like, I can't.
I get it. Yeah, I have no idea where you
Like, I'm looking at these things, okay, because it's just cream pie, they're, like listing. Uh-huh. Texas is teen, which is fucking creepy, man. That shit's creepy.
Ohio's MILF cream pie. So I not just cream pie, it's old cream pie.
Yeah, this
sour
is
sour milk.
This is weird, man. It's weird how California is dominated by Asian. Look at that. Number one, Asian. Boom.
Of course. Head of the times.
And the average visits. Well, I don't understand that. Do you get that? Average number of visits duration. So the duration, the average for the people in California was like on the darker end.
Yeah,
but not as dark as fucking, like, look at Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's teen.
Yep. Ebony has the longest.
So you can go into a store and say, I want teen porn, and they'll sell it to you? Like two kids fucking, like 16?
No,
it's like
no, 18, no. They're 18 like 18 or 19 or something like that. And that's the idea.
But you can go into and get like Asian porn, like a white dude fucking a Chinese chick.
Oh, yeah.
Online,
you
get that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just say it's like, that's impossible. That's like so standard. It's weird how there's like standard. Like categories of porn, you know, like DP, like that's a category.
What's DP?
Double penetration. That's like normal. Well, we're like one's the ass, one's the vagina. It's so passe. It's so passe that it's its own category.
That's
it's like
disgusting.
It's not just once, not just a couple crazy people got together.
One
listen,
in her
dude.
Ass and one in the vagina.
Yeah, double
Two
penetration.
Dudes right in her asshole like that together. Giggling.
Hey, listen, if you're a chick and you love dick, tell me that wouldn't be amazing.
No, it wouldn't. No,
the problem is that it's on video and everyone's going to know, but the reality, if you're a girl, if you like anal sex, I don't know if girls like it, but if you do like it, and then you like, I mean, it varies, but if you do like it and you like it in your box as well, I mean, take away society standards, and that would be, like, super awesome. If you had, like, Ashton Kutcher in your butt and Brad Pitt in your box, I mean, if you were a gal, you'd be so happy.
But it'd be like, you know, Ashton, get out of there. You're gobbling it all up. Save me some. Why would you want...
That's not...
Wouldn't you rather have Brad Pitt in there? Why share it with Ashton?
Well, because you're a freak and you want it all. She has no limitations to her freakness.
I have no idea what this Anita porn is. Like when I Google it, like that once state was Nevada. It's just Anita Queen is what the kind of porn is called. I can't figure out what it is.
Anita Queen. I don't know, understand a word of what you're saying.
All right,
what are you saying?
So like, see here, this Asian is California. Anita Queen is the.
Oh, that's the style of porn.
Yeah, and when I look it up, it looks like it's like pageant porn or something.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, that actually is interesting. If that was a category of like, you've won the pageant, I'll suck it, you dirty bitch. Like, yeah, you got the queen. You took down the number one gal. No, that's a weird thing, isn't it?
That's weird.
What's hard? The categories are weird. Like that some dudes like only jerk off to anal. They just like, they can't wait to see some more butt porn. Yeah, put it where you're not supposed to. Woo! You know, like, what the fuck, man? It's weird how that's actually like a category.
Yeah, I find myself going into weird categories a lot lately just to mix it up, kind of like when you drink the same alcohol for so long. You're like, oh, I'm going to try something different. I've been like black chicks getting fucked by big white guys.
Is there a lot of that?
Yeah, there's tons of that.
So black chicks getting dominated by white guys with big dicks?
Yeah, huge dicks.
So it's like some like, you look at this black guy.
Yeah.
Hey, in your face, buddy. Yeah, look at my giant white pecker. And then have them sprint to the girl. How about that? The first guy who gets there gets to fuck her. Be a bunch of white guys jacking off. Going, oh, come on. Come on, black guy.
Did you hear this?
Big dick.
The sex industry's closed down because of AIDS again.
Yes, I did hear about that.
And the chick that boner guy, that chick that did a porn.
With Wiener.
Anthony Wiener,
who's a politician.
Yeah, she actually did a movie with the guy that has the AIDS.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah. She did a movie. Well, the guy was exposed to HIV. He had sex with the girl who had contacted HIV.
Yeah.
He had sex with her, but allegedly, from what I've read, it's not that easy to transmit from HIV from a woman to a man, that it's much easier for a man to a woman because of the man injects fluids into the body. So I don't know if that's true, though. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. But, like, Tommy Morrison is supposedly, like, really sick with AIDS now. Like, he has full-blown AIDS. And they did a story about it recently. Somebody posted it on the Underground, and it's really fucking sad. I mean, he's dying. He's on, like, life support system, essentially. He has full-blown AIDS, you know, and they say he got it from a girl, you know. I mean, it might be possible. I do not know. You know, I've heard, like, obviously that's what you always hear. It's not possible for a guy to get it from a girl. You always hear that. But I don't know if that's...
I don't think he did anything else unless he got it from a needle.
He could have got it from a needle.
That's the obvious fucking choice.
Well, we were talking about that yesterday with Dwayne Ludwig. We were talking about fighters and pills and pain relief and, you know, fucking what relieves pain better than heroin? I mean, is there anything? Right? So for a lot of fighters, they might have started shooting up because the heroin, like, relieving the pain for them was so effective.
Those fucking
they
opiates.
Wanted to do it that way.
Those opiates, you know, that's what it's about.
Getting used to needles in general.
Well, you know what? If you're a fighter and, you know, you're used to getting punched in the face, getting your face stitched up, and I mean, just that's, like, needles are not going to freak you out.
You ain't worried about guys, fucking needles when stitches putting your nose back together in the second round, and you're going back out there to fight another two fucking rounds or three fucking rounds.
Yeah, you do that's fucking five shit. Rounds with Ray Mercer and get KO'd into the ropes like he did. Did you ever see that?
No.
With Tommy Morrison getting knocked out by Ray Mercer is one of the most frightening knockouts I've ever seen in my life. Because, well, first of all, it's frightening because Ray Mercer was a murderous puncher. But it was hilarious for me because I had this friend that would always root for white guys. He wanted white guys to win boxing matches so bad. He never wanted it to be the best fighter. He always wanted it to be the white fighter. So, like, he rooted for Jerry Cooney and... So he got hit here, and Ray Mercer just unloads on him.
Yeah.
And he gets caught in the ropes, though. Look at this. Like, he's caught in the ropes, and Ray Mercer's teeing off him. That's terrible quality. Is there a better quality version of that? We could see it smooth? Because it was all so choppy. But anyway, it was a frightening, frightening knockout. But once you've done that, you can shoot heroin.
And that's 235 PA. Listen, bro. That once you have that pain... And that pain doesn't fucking go away, and that little needle knocks it away. Listen to all those people's stories. That's how it started. You know, And all of a sudden, a rookie's behind you to take your fucking job in football. You just bought your fucking girl a house and a boat.
Yeah.
And you bought your parents a boat, and now you're 28, and a 22-year-old All-American is coming in front of you. And you got a little bit of knee pain. And if you complain about it, then you have surgery, and you're out, and then this motherfucker steals your job.
Wow.
What were you going to do? You ain't got time. You do what you need to do. Shoot the cortisone. Shoot the fucking DECA.
Yeah.
Shoot the Mecca. Shoot it all. I don't give a fuck. As long as I play, at the end of the season, we'll talk about surgery. Then guess what, dog? At the end of surgery, they meet a fucking guru who says, you don't need surgery. We're going to shoot this in you, and that's it.
Ray Mercer was a fucking murderous
that's
puncher back then.
This one right here.
Watching that.
Right
there.
All of them. Yeah, the one, the left that stiffened him and the right that put him down. And then he hit him two more times, full clip after that. Watch that one more time, just the finishing blows. Because I'm serious, it's one of the most devastating knockouts I've ever seen.
Man, if you saw this on TV, when was this? 70s? Late 70s? Early 80s?
80s.
Yeah.
Here's that right hand. And Ray Mercer was a fucking killer. And he could take it too, man. Ray could take it. Look at these shots. Oh. Bing. Bang. Boom. Bam. Bam, 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 bam,
right there, right
bam, 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 and two more before he goes down. Look how many times he fucking hit
That's
him,
man. That's
the
game of AIDS, those punches, dog. He got punched with AIDS.
You're not even joking, though. It might have.
Dog, that was it. He just got AIDS. Like, I mean, something that might have just he didn't get brain damage.
Rewired
he got AIDS,
everything.
Dog.
Who knows how he got it, but
he must have ate sushi that afternoon and that got night, hit in the head real hard. And
that night could not. That's not good for your health.
No,
sure.
That fucked him up. That was it. They did the movie with Stallone, and he was done, dog.
Yeah, you know, there's some sort of a. He did the movie with Stallone after that, didn't he?
Was I don't
it before
know.
Or after
I don't
that?
Know.
I think
know.
It was before
gotta
that.
Check.
Before that, right?
That sent him over the fucking top.
The movie
that was
did.
The wrong guy. That was like giving a Puerto Rican a check on the 5th, dog. You know what I'm saying? What's that?
Too early, right?
That's, yeah. No. Yeah. They sent him over the top, dog.
Could you imagine being the fucking guy who gets to play Tommy Gunn back in the day? He probably. I mean, how
Next
do you?
Stallone,
how does anybody
Rocky
handle
Balboa.
That?
Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, and you're a young
I'm playing
fighter.
A guy that Rocky took in with a fucking. He was. It was a horrible fucking. What was the guy that? What was the black guy in that movie? Who's the big black guy that did all those movies? And did who was Tyson's manager that robbed him?
Don King.
Don King. Remember the Don King in that movie?
Oh yeah.
He was the worst. Come on, Tommy. Come with me in the limo. We got whiskey.
Oh, that's right.
We got whiskey and white women. Tommy just got punched in the head with Ray Mercer. What are you going to do? You're going to stand there next to Sylvester? Fuck no.
No, I think that
remember
was
remember he was doing
before.
Blow in the limo? Get yeah. that scene up. Get that scene up when he's doing blow in the limo. She's got those little white milky titties. He's going fucking bananas. Rocky's like, what about when I torture? Fuck you, bitch. This bitch is banging.
It must be incredibly hard to keep your motivation to be a fighter when that happens. Because a fighter, that's like the opposite world of being a fighter. Listen. Like, you're in a gigantic blockbuster. You're in a Rocky movie. Back when it means something to be in a Rocky movie. You know, if you're in, like, Rocky 9. Like, if you're in Rocky Today.
That's what I do. It's all I've ever done.
Did you see Rocky Balboa, the
no,
last one?
No.
Hey, man, if you're into Rocky movies, it's not bad.
That's it right
this
there when
is
he leaves.
The final scene with Rocky
look
and
the
Tommy.
White chick.
Oh, this is great in Spanish. And Tommy Morrison and him square off, and there's the shitty Don King.
Look how big his small his head is.
We're not turning.
Oh, Rocky punched him a bunch of times in the back of the head. Wow, and knocked him down. Tommy's really upset. Oh, wow, he threw at him, and Rocky hit him on the way in. Incredible fight here. Wow, Rocky took his legs out. He's going MMA. No ground and pound, though? Uh-oh, now Tommy's coming back. Boy, that looks fake. Holy shit, that looks fake. That looks so fake, it should be illegal.
That looks so fake, they gave him $20 million. That's how fucking fake Sylvester. Imagine that shit, Joe Rogan.
Oh, he probably made at least $20 million from this movie. This is a huge movie, man. Look at this. Here's the finish. Ha! One giant left hook, and he drops.
Where's Don King? Look at Don King.
You hit me, I'll sue you. So that's a digital signal that we're allowed to use, the Spanish version?
Yeah.
We can get away with that?
Yeah, you just got to get the brain juice.
I'm telling you, that's fucked up.
So I found the map of the U.S., and I didn't know where a lot of shit was. I didn't know where a lot of shit was in the weird areas, like the Maine and New Hampshire areas.
So hold Joe Rogan, look at me. Joe Rogan, yeah. Look at me, quick. What's the 6 states in New England?
New Hampshire, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, Massachusetts. That's it?
Vermont, Massachusetts.
Connecticut. No. Rhode Island. Rhode Island, Connecticut.
Where's Bob Marley from?
Maine. Did I not put Maine? I forgot Maine?
I don't know.
Is Maine New England? It must be.
Yeah, Maine's New England.
Maine's got to
be
New England. Yeah, okay, so I forgot that. Beautiful. And New Hampshire's New England too, no?
Yes, sir.
Whoa, so, those are states?
That's the real
cities.
How dare you?
New Hampshire is where
you don't know. You really are a baby.
New Hampshire's where if you don't live close to Boston, if you don't live close to Boston, you fly into New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And the fucking flights are dirt cheap. It's like two different fucking worlds to fly into New Hampshire and to fly into Boston. They're 45. It's like Burbank LAX.
New Hampshire's filled with a lot of fucking people that don't want to hear the government's bullshit. They're all like those live free or die folks. They have compounds set up. That's on their license plate, live free or die. That's a gangster state. You know, they're like up there too, where you got to like shoot moose to stay alive. When you're north of Boston, you're a silly bitch. Okay. That's not cold enough for you. You need to go further? Because when we would do gigs in Maine, I'd be like, oh my God, it's colder. Like, we'd be in Boston and we'd go to Maine to do a gig in December and it'd be 10 degrees cold. You get out of the car, you're like, I can't believe these motherfuckers live where it's colder than where we live.
You ever been somewhere where you look up and you go, how the fuck do people live here? And you make like a mental note, like, this is the coldest I've ever been. January 5th, 1995, they took me up from Denver, Colorado. I was living in Boulder to do a gig in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Joe Rogan.
Cheyenne,
it had to be 35 fucking below with the wind chill. I left the hotel and I asked the guy at the fucking thing, where do you get something to eat? And he looked at me and he goes, maybe 50 yards down, but I wouldn't leave if I was you. And I looked at him like, bitch. And I went out there and started walking. And like 25 minutes in, I was like, it's too cold to walk there. And if I get there, it's going to definitely be too cold to come back.
Wow.
Like, that's how. And I walked, and I had chili, and, I mean, it was horrendous. I had to take your jacket off, and I had to sit next to the heater, and that was something that...
We forget about that. We don't have to deal with that shit here.
$350 I got for that gig as a feature act for four shows.
That's a good gig.
In those days, yes,
yeah,
it was.
That's a good gig.
Yes, it was.
I remember the... I just got an email from John Schuler. I got to email him back. I just remembered, but I used to do a lot of Schuler gigs, you know, and they varied, you know, like if you got a good one, it was a couple $100, maybe more, you know, depending on what kind of bar he set up. Those were great gigs, you know, he would like have, and some of them were really fun. They had a lot of them. Schuler had a lot of them in Connecticut that were great fucking gigs. Brown, what is it called? Brown Thompson? Is that what it is? God damn it. Place in Hartford he used to have that was like a really good comedy club. It was the only place in Hartford, because at the time, I think there's an improv in Hartford, Connecticut now.
Yes,
right.
Funny Bone.
A Funny Bone. Something, okay. Something. Yeah, there wasn't any back in the day. I want to say it was called Brown Thompson's. It was like a bar, and they used to book the comedy there, and it was like a fucking comedy club. It was like a real club. It was a great gig. Like, people would get excited about that gig. It was a good one. But Schuler had them all over the place.
Two places where I thought I could possibly get killed doing comedy. Craig, Colorado is heavy fucking duty, Colorado. That was the first time ever I got an addendum. What do you call that shit when you get the paperwork on the gig? And it said, room is known to be active. If anything happens, run to your room and contact the bar manager. Like, that's what it's the triple run. And the other crazy gig I did was a place called These Civilizations. These cities had been taken over by the cities, and they didn't give a fuck. It was called Rock Springs, Wyoming. Rock Springs, Wyoming, they had done a thing on 60 Minutes about Rock Springs, how the mob had taken over Rock Springs, Wyoming. And that's where they took wounded hookers from Las Vegas and revamped them and fished their pussies and made them hook small time. And they had a strip club. It was like AAA. I'm not kidding you, dog. This was look it up. Rock Springs, Wyoming, 60 Minutes. The feds had to go in and take it back from the local fucking government.
What?
This is craziness. This shit, they had gambling stuff, and Mike, well, what's his name? Like, two of the guys from 60 Minutes went up there and did a report about it. There's some crazy fucking places out there that you'll never know about unless you drive through. I just got an email from a fucking great guy that said he has a room in Billings, Wyoming, Montana, a 400-seat little theater, and he sent me an email. I'm thinking about going up there, obviously, like, in fucking May, because that's the only month that's fucking warm up there.
There's a website called Rock Spring Hookers.
Oh, no, they don't fuck, but that's not Rock Springs,
WyomingHookers.net.
There you go, dog, they don't fuck around there. It's to a different level. That's where wounded hookers go. They get rehab to fix the monkey. They get rid of the chlamydia and the HIV. Ray Mercer takes care of him and punches him.
Don't pull it up. Don't pull it up, Brian. Don't put it up.
It's pretty disturbing.
No. Yeah. Can't do that.
What's that?
The website.
Is it bad?
I shouldn't have mentioned the name of it anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who gives a fuck? Pull it up.
It's not my fault. No, no.
Is it disgusting?
No. Yes. Yes and no, and I don't want you to pull it
up. How many bruises they got?
I don't think we should it's an illegal business. They're going to get in trouble. I don't want them to get in trouble.
They don't give a fuck.
They're on the internet.
But look at the interview.
Yeah, but how do you find them?
But look at the interview for 60 minutes. Don't look that up. Please, just look 60 minutes up and see what.
Okay.
60 minutes. 60 minutes, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 1992, 93.
I don't know if it's the same Dom Figg, but, you know, we're talking about Dom Figg, the vampire comic. Look at this. There's a guy named Dom Figg that took this fucking picture of a wave hitting the buildings in Connecticut. Holy shit, man. Look at this. This was when Sandy hit. Brian, see that shit?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Pull that picture up.
Where is that at?
It's a photographer awestruck after catching a wave. This is an incredible picture. It's incredible because, like, the idea that he was there while this actually happened, like, you shouldn't be anywhere fucking near there. And this crazy asshole's not just there, he's taking pictures. Photographer awestruck after catching a wave is the title.
A wave.
Yeah. This is nuts, man. Did you find it?
Uh-uh.
Okay, go to cpost.com. Or just look up Dom Figg comic. And then click on the third link, and you'll see
Dominic
Figg comic. Dominic Figg comic. And then look under the third picture. Dominic Figg comic. And look under the third link, rather. It'll say Connecticut Post.
Okay, here we go.
Look at this fucking picture, man. This is insane. I mean, it's insane. It's like, what were they thinking building houses there, first of all? That's, like, beautiful for most of the time. But, fuck, man. If there's a possibility. But it didn't matter if you were right in front of the water with this motherfucker, right? Like, they went, like, several blocks in. Shit. Just destroying everything in its path. It's like, we're so crazy to think that the ocean's going to stay where it is. What a nutty idea to, like, build expensive shit right next to the edge. Like, this, the edge is right here. This is my spot. Fucking got marked it off. This is my house. I'm up on stilts. You know, they put the house right at the water. And, like, the gamble is, like, how long is the water going to be there? Is it going to stay there for 100 years? Is it going to stay there for 50 years? What's the gamble? You know, and everybody's willing to take that gamble because if you can open up your window and you're there on the ocean like it's a boat, that's fucking amazing. You know, so they take that gamble, park that bitch right next to the rocks. And hope that nothing melts.
Yeah, but you would have a bigger gamble having a house on the mountain, like with the fires that you had. You know,
that's true. Well, the fires are everywhere in California.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to a firefighter that said there's a real worry, and not of if, but when, that one day one of these motherfucker wildfires that they get is going to catch L.A. and the wind's going to be just right, and he said it's going to burn right to the beach. I go, you think it'll burn down Hollywood? He goes, I don't think we can stop it. He goes, if you're dealing with the kind of fire that can go that far and is that strong and it's wind aided and it's just big enough, because fires can be really, really, really fucking big. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around how big they can be, but they can be so big that you can't fucking control them. All you do is try to contain them, but you can't control them. And if they get that big and they can't cut it off in time and it starts going towards LA, if it's the right time of year, the right amount of Santa Ana winds kicking in, shit, man.
Look what happened last year in New Jersey. Anything could happen, bro.
Look what's happening right now in Montana. Yeah, like there's in Phoenix, or in Arizona, rather.
With the dust storm. Somebody told me they were driving back from Vegas on Sunday, and it was fucking scary as shit.
The car
was going all over the world. Took them 8.5 hours to get home with the
wind,
traffic.
Man.
The wind and shit. Listen, everything's getting more extreme. Everything's getting more fucking extreme, brother. The heat's getting more extreme. The cold is getting more extreme. And, you know, I'm not fucking Al Gore. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all that shit. No, you know, I thought you didn't know.
Podcast over.
I thought you didn't know. You know, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but we evolve.
Right.
So that means the weather has to fucking evolve.
Right.
And, you know, 20 years ago, I remember being in Jersey, hanging out, playing wiffle ball, and within 3 minutes, it would get dark, dog. And all of a sudden, these chunks of fucking hail would come out, you know. But look at now. Now, I went to the shore 80 times. 80 fucking thousand times I went to that Jersey Shore. Ask me, did I think that it would dissipate like the way Sandy came up? And you know what? In 3 years, guess what? There's going to be another one, Jack. You know those people we see every year? I had a tornado. I ain't leaving. People make 1,000 jokes about. That's going to be South Jersey in fucking 3 years. Yeah. Every three, it's going to be every 7 or 8 years. Then it's going to go down to fucking every 4 years. And then 50 years from now, it'll be every fucking eight. You know, that's just the way it is. We evolved, man. Though everything moves. Don't they find those dinosaur bones in Montana, didn't you
say? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right,
and didn't they belong to fish or sea bass or whatever the fuck it was?
Well, there was a great Western Inland Sea there. Yeah, that's how, there used to be a fucking interior ocean.
The thing that's always stunned me about Boulder is the Devil's Thumb. When you're on baseline and you're driving close to the university in South Boulder and you look to your right and there's a thing that pops out of the fucking mountain. This just this figure. Go ahead, look it up. Boulder, Colorado, the Devil's Thumb. And it pops up. And it makes you fucking think. It makes you fuck. You know, it's the weirdest thing. I hiked up there one time with my dog. Not Hercules. Yeah, Hercules went up there and was missing for a night. I went up there and fucking tried to look him down. They got snakes up there, the whole thing. But it makes you think, man, what the fuck was here 3 million years ago? Not me, so I don't know. I don't have the answer.
There Did you go. Hear about that
there
kid?
You go. Look at the Devil's Thumb.
Yeah.
Come on now. I'm right there in baseline when you're driving. Look at that fucking thing. That's a beautiful thing.
Did you hear about the kid in Minnesota that got bitten by a wolf?
Yes.
Wolf bit him in his fucking head while he was sleeping and wouldn't let go. Wolf was trying to eat him. He was sleeping outside the tent. And I guess it's, I mean, I don't know why. There was other people in the tent. I don't know what the whole story was. But the wolf clamped a hold of his fucking head and wouldn't let go. Imagine what a terrifying feeling it is when a wolf, a 75-pound wolf, has clamped a hold of your head while you're sleeping. And this is the first known attack in that state's history that they have, like, documented, I think.
Aren't fucking sharks biting people more and more every fucking day?
Dude, I was in Hawaii, and they bit two fucking people while I was there. One of them died.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They got one kid got bit in his leg. He was surfing. And he got bit. And another woman got her arm bit off, and she died.
And was
the
she
kid lived.
Water?
The boy lived because his friends tied his leg off with a tourniquet and brought him into the hospital, what? Like, really quickly. Yeah, they used a leash, I think, like a leash for a surfboard. And they tied off his leg and tourniquet, pulled him out of the water. But they saw him. They saw him get attacked by the shark, bit him in the leg. It's tiger sharks, apparently. And they're trying to figure out now, like, the people in Hawaii, or they're going to do some studies now. They're going to try to figure out why these tiger sharks being more aggressive. But there's going to be a lot of issues with wildlife in the ocean as well, because these predators don't have as much to eat, because we fish so much. We take so much tuna and so many different fish that they survive off of. Like, I would imagine that a lot of fish are going to be in real trouble, like the fish that also rely on the fish that we eat, because we fucking kill everything, man.
And all the fish has that fucking shit in it right now from Tokyo. I don't, have you been seeing all that?
Yeah, there's a 3% increase, I think they said, in the amount of radiation that they've found in fish, which is not worrisome as far as, like, health. Apparently, you can get away with a little bit, but the worry is that this could get worse.
Yeah, you see that radiation chart where it just shows, like, in like 15 years we're all pretty much fucked. And
Fukushima is fucking crazy.
Yeah,
that's a scary situation. I mean, it's much more scary than it's been. You know, like, oh my god, did you see what Miley Cyrus did on TV? She stuck her tongue out and showed her butt. Meanwhile, there's a fucking hole in the earth that's filled with radioactive shit and it's leaking into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really scary. They can't stop it, they can't contain it, and they don't know what the fuck to do. And instead, we're looking at Syria, and we're looking at all these other... maybe there's threats. I mean, maybe Syria is someplace we really do need to be. Maybe they are using chemical weapons. But for sure, that shit is going down at Fukushima. For fucking sure. There's a real problem there. And TEPCO doesn't know what the fuck to do, and no one in the world has a solution for it. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I mean, it's just constantly leaking radioactive waste. And what are the people in Tokyo, what's that going to be like in a decade? You know what? What it means? It's right down the hill from that fucking place. I mean, what is going to happen? What is? Are they going to have any like non-radioactive fish? And don't they rely on fish? Like, there's a huge amount of their income and their diet that relies on fish. That's going to be a terrible place. Could be a real issue. You know, they're finding radioactive bunnies, like bunnies that have deformities and shit that live there. They're born with no ears. There's like all sorts of weird shit going down near there.
Yeah. What if the fish start turning into like these tiger sharks are eating these these fish and stuff, and it's in the water and it starts becoming what, like a zombie shark? NATO? I mean, like that's like real, you know, like
listen to that statement and imagine that used in court against you.
I mean, like these fish are
imagine like you trying to argue that you're smart and then like, okay, now that's real. It's like fish shark NATO.
Zombie fish shark NATO. Yeah. No, but I mean like if the fish become like some mutant kind of animals that
yeah, well, that could happen. I mean, I don't think that's really how things mutate. The life isn't a fucking comic book, son. But yeah, in a comic book, that would become Godzilla. It would become the creature from the Black Lagoon or some shit.
Godzilla
right?
was made.
Wasn't you thought it was made?
No.
No, wait. Godzilla was a creation because of the atomic bomb, supposedly. The U.S. drops atomic bombs on Japan, and then Godzilla is born because of the radiation. Like all those animals, those giant animals, Mothra, all that shit, Rodan. I believe maybe Rodan was from space.
So it's coming
remember.
True.
Well, that was the idea. No, it's not coming true. It's just some fucking sharks bit some people.
Those are good movies that you saw the string, and it fucked your world up. You're like,
the
fuck!
From the Mothra string?
Yeah, the Mothra string and shit. Wow!
This Remember when ABC, so bad today.
Fucking ABC would do Monster Week at 4:30, the after-school movie. 4:30 after Dark Shadows, you threw some fucking heat, Jack.
Yeah. Pull up some videos of Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. Yes. That's who the baddest one was. Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
You remember when it was King Kong versus Godzilla? Oh, and they had to make King Kong the same size.
Oh,
and that was always very disappointing to me when I was a boy that I found out how much smaller King Kong was than Godzilla. It wasn't even close. Godzilla's like 500 feet high. King Kong's 50 feet high. 50 feet high ain't shit when you're dealing with Godzilla, but in Godzilla versus King Kong, all of a sudden King Kong's huge.
That's a good little fucking jam, too. Blois to go. Godzilla.
There goes Tokyo. Go, Godzilla. Yeah, that was Blue Oyster Cult, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, the smoke wakes him up. Those movies were so... People today can't understand how awesome those movies are. Play that.
There you go!
You know, people don't understand how amazing these movies were.
Amazing.
It's L.A. versus Tokyo.
Look how bad this is. This is incredible. Oh, that's when he became the smog monster,
it,
remember?
Right?
And he flies around just blowing poison smog on people.
Chemtrails, bro.
Yeah, he was the original chemtrails. The smog monster. Look, everybody, look how bad the fucking special effects are. Oh, my God, it's amazing. Oh, it's so good. What people don't understand is when you were a kid, or when I was a kid, rather, and we would watch this, we would have to be... You had to suspend disbelief. You were just amazed that they could show you any visual representation of a gigantic lizard. Like anything that remotely looked like it, you were willing to accept. Like, look at that. Look how bad that is. But we were willing to accept it because we knew that up until then, like, that was the best.
That was the best. That was it.
Like, if you go to the original King Kong, and the original King Kong, the difference between the way the Japanese did it and the way Ray Harryhausen did it. I think it was Ray Harryhausen. I might have made that up. But the animator, they used to do it frame by frame. They would just move the clay a little, take a picture. Move the clay a little, take a picture. Move the clay a little, take a picture. It took fucking forever. But they would have these elaborate fight scenes with these clay animals that they created. So he'd like King Kong fighting against dinosaurs. That shit took forever. And look what it looked like. Look how fucking fake it looks. Look, it moves around.
Wow, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah, it's like people got fucked
Somebody
up.
Really died.
But look, it barely even looks like it's there. Like, play that. Look, it barely even looks like it's there.
No,
it's like, there's a guy in front of it, and he's looking at it. What are you doing?
I'm singing. I can barely see him.
Look at that.
Oh,
it's weird.
People.
And look at the fucking special effects. Like, what was King Kong? It was like 1936 or some
33.
Shit? 33?
Yeah.
Wow. So back then, this was the greatest fucking thing
you
the world had ever
known.
you can't believe they even pulled this off. I mean, the special effects for back then were unbelievably incredible. Like, people were so excited to see this. When you look at, like, King Kong itself, like, show King Kong itself. Oh. Like, when you see him.
Hey, where's King Kong?
Oh. The guy's getting up. They're trying to figure out what happened. Oh. Like, look how fake this looks.
It's a lizard.
But this is a real lizard, though. I think they just stuck a real lizard in there. Nope. That's animated, like, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes they would do that, though. They would have a movie, and they would have, like, a real lizard. Yeah. And you could tell the lizard was nowhere near them in real life. But they'd be like, oh, look. And they would just insert this giant fucking lizard in the back. How weird must it have been to act in these movies? Okay, there's a spider. It's 16 feet tall. It's coming at you now. Run. Look at him. He's, like, scrambling. And then they have to add in this killer spider. This is nuts. Like, look how bad it looks when they pick up someone and they're getting bit. This is so stupid.
Watch out.
But that was as good as the world had ever seen back then.
Yeah.
It was impossible to get any better. Like, that was incredible. Like, people must have been so excited. And there was no, I mean, what fucking TV shows were on in 1936?
Howdy Doody.
Or 33. Show, right? Did they even have TV in 33?
I don't know. When did they invent
TV? When's the invention of TV? Invention of TV. Yeah, for a while, it was just movies, right? TV probably came a long time.
I thought it was fucking radio. Like, I thought the Green Hornet was a radio show and all that shit.
I didn't find anything for when was the invention of the TV. Searching the web for when was the invention of the TV.
Huh. Okay, so apparently there's not a single thing. There's not a single thing that you can point to. Because there's a lot of shit that got invented that related to the invention of the television.
Can you imagine sitting around with a bunch of people and your family and listening to the Green Hornet?
That'd be awesome.
Amazing.
8 to 9 every Friday night, and then Wednesday was something else, and Thursday was comedy night. Like, they'd have, like, not Jackie Gleason, but the other guy, like...
Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah, something like that.
It happened in 1862. It was the first still image that was transferred. And this guy had something called a pantelegraph. So he transferred a picture by telegraph, this thing, or this electronic thing transferred. And he became the first person to transmit a still image over wires. Fuck, man. They figured that out in 1862. You know how crazy that is? Slavery became illegal in 1865. So while they were still slaves, someone had figured out how to send a photo over wire. Fuck.
Remember when the telegram was huge? Do you remember that? When you were a kid, the telegram was huge. They had huge commercials.
Yeah, Western Union.
Western Union was huge. You had to go to Western Union and then pay cash. Then they got the credit card, and that was the beginning of the end. And shit, that was the beginning
this
of the
is
end.
Incredible stuff, man. They in 1873, scientists May and Smith experiment with selenium and light, and this reveals the possibility for inventors to transform images into electronic signals. How the fuck did they figure that out? I mean, think about how nutty that is. These dudes are riding horses, and some motherfucker figured out how to turn images into electronic signals so that you could send them? So you could send them over wire. Look how fucking stupid I am hundreds of years later.
What was the first picture? Porn? Had to be, right?
Probably his dick. Probably a guy sent some chick a picture of his dick.
His poop. Look at my poop, fine lady.
It was some crafty cat. It's like, this bitch has got to see my dick. If she sees my dick, it's on. And right now, she wants to stay in Philadelphia. So, fuck, what do I do? I'm in New Mexico.
Sending pictures of your slaves.
This is amazing stuff, man. So in 1900, they called it television at the World's Fair in Paris. The first International Congress of Electricity was held, and that is where Russian Konstantin Persky made the first known use of the word television. So it was invented by a Russian gentleman, or the word was, at least. Amazing. You know, when you go back and think about dudes that were inventing, like, really mind-blowing shit, like back in the 1800s or the 50s, you know, even earlier than that. Like the dude who figured out the printing press.
Yeah, but you know how much shit you didn't have, like, fucking, like, interfering with you? Like, you didn't have internet, you didn't have TV, you didn't have...
You had to invent TV. Shit. You had to go to the woods. What about the guy that invented meth? How, he didn't get no credit?
The guy who invented meth?
How about that fucking
poor... Oh, I give him credit
bastard.
Every day. That guy was awesome.
That fucking poor soul in the trailer had no money for drugs and just started putting shit together. When I saw that on Discovery, I was blown the fuck away, people.
Who was it that invented meth? Was it one dude?
I don't know, but putting a battery, the core of a... battery, cold medicine, just are you fucking kidding me? Like, what did you come up with? Who gave you this recipe?
Wasn't meth used in, like, World War II? Like the story was that they used the Hitler troops used it, and they used it on the Japanese kamikaze pilots
to get
them to be willing to
But it
to
was
slam.
Speed. I don't know if it's the shit that they have now in a tub that the, you know, Sons of Anarchy sells. I don't fucking know. I'm just telling you that, what the fuck, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it's not a new drug. It was first made in 1887.
Again.
So.
1887.
Yeah.
Some Germany, dude wanted to send a picture of his dick to some chick, so before he could invent the camera and get the electronic wave, he had to stay up for a week to fucking do it.
I'm sorry. That was just amphetamines. So amphetamines for 1887. Methamphetamine, which was more potent and easy to make, was developed in Japan in 1919. The crystalline powder was soluble in water, making it a perfect candidate for injection. Methamphetamine went into wide use during World War II when both sides used it to keep troops awake. Holy fucking shit. High doses were given to Japanese kamikaze pilots before their suicide missions. And after the war, methamphetamine abuse by injection reached epidemic proportions when supplies stored for military use became available to the Japanese public. Man. In 1950s, methamphetamine was prescribed as a diet aid and to fight depression. Easily available, it was used as a non-medical stimulant by college students, truck drivers, and athletes, and the abuse of the drug spread. Holy shit. Did you know that? They used to prescribe methamphetamines for depression. At least
it probably worked.
Think about it. It's a back door, yeah.
Well, that was in the Liberace movie.
Yeah.
Remember the California diet?
Yeah,
he gave him some form of amphetamines.
You know what's crazy? That when I was growing up, there was this crazy kid on the block, and he had whatever they diagnosed it then as ADD, but they used to give him speed to calm him down.
Right.
I mean, he was fucking. He used to jump off his own roof. Why would you do that?
Yeah, well, they say that's with Ritalin.
This was way before Ritalin. His sister used to sell him his Black Beauties.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had this kid on some heavy-duty shit. Mm. I used to go to East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, and buy 1,000 Black Beauties for $35. And I would sell them.
What is exactly a Black Beauty?
It was these little fucking black things they made in the 70s, and they were the original diet pill.
And it was an amphetamine?
An amphetamine.
Well, do you know what kind it was?
No, who gives a fuck? They were $35 for 1,000. I sold them for
$100. $35 for 1,000?
And I would sell them for $35 to $100 to the wrestlers at $1 a piece. You have no idea what a cash cow that thing was.
Oh, my God.
And I remember, like, one night I went out and I had no blow, and I ate, like, 3 of them and drank Anisette. And I was sick for a fucking week. Like, I never ate those pills. But I remember people cracking them open and snorting those motherfuckers.
You know what's really interesting? Like, you talking about that, and you talking about selling, bootlegging these illegal drugs. It's like, it depends on how much money you make and what you do with that money, whether or not you become legitimate.
I was, like, a junior in high school.
But what I'm saying is, like, I know, but look at the Kennedys. The Kennedys did the exact same thing.
Yeah, the same thing.
The Kennedys became legitimate. They became a very wealthy and established family from moonshine. They were selling drugs. They were selling liquid drugs that were illegal, but they did the right thing with all the money. They got a hold of it, invested it in politics, started getting. I mean, they had a lot of fucking money, and then, you know, they got out of it once it became legal or something. I mean, I don't know how the fuck they transitioned out of bootlegging it, but that's like the known history. Of Joe Kennedy, right? The father.
Father, right.
The father was he was a moonshine runner, which is kind of crazy. I mean, how much different is that, really, than you selling these Black Beauties? It's really no different, like, morally or ethically. It's the same thing. So, like, if you had stuck with the Black Beauty business and then got into politics later, I mean, that would have been acceptable.
Let me tell you something. That was right after my mom died, and I was, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And I would go on Saturdays with this kid, Nick Biamonte. He was a football player up there. And he would pick me up. We'd drive like an hour and a half. And we'd go into this room, these college kids that looked like they were 40. And that's all they did all week was make different things. And they would make acid, blotter acid, paper. They would make four-way acid. They would make little mescaline. And they would make black beauties. And that's what they did all week. And their parents thought they were going to school. These are, these, you know, before the computer nerd, this is what nerds did.
Right.
They had, this was, these kids were probably millionaires. I remember them having Z28s were big. Remember Z28s in 1980?
IROCs.
They both had IROCs with the cut moon dish that came out. Like
The TV.
Yeah. No, these guys were making money, guys. Meanwhile, I remember them going, our dad send us money. We don't go to class. We pay rent. They had a gambling thing during the week.
Yeah.
These kids were banging it. They were crazy little fucking, I don't even know what they were, Irish kids.
I remember the T-Tops thing.
Yeah, the T-Top and Ted Nugent, and we'd go and they'd show us. These guys had a garage with jars of Black Beauties, jars. That was their mainstay, and then everything else they made as they went along. Like, this week we'll make blotter acid. This week we'll make four-way acid. This week we'll make window pane acid. Just a complete different world, bro.
Do you remember when everybody had that Trans Am, just like Burt Reynolds with the eagle on the hood?
Yes.
There was a giant eagle sticker. Like, it was important to have that sticker. Pull that bitch up. Pull that Burt Reynolds.
That was authentic. Trans Am.
That eagle sticker is important, man. Like, I knew a dude who had one rebuilt. Had it, it was like for a TV show. And they had to get that sticker, man. That was like a big part of it. Was putting that sticker on. Like, they had to get it like recreated, so they could, because they restored the entire car. Like, that sticker.
I remember how big of a feud.
That's not
it was.
The one though. It was,
I know which
it goes back more.
I remember
the cooler
feud,
one has exposed headlights.
I remember the big feud when two people got an IROC in the same neighborhood. Like, that became a feud. Like, you had to throw down.
Yeah.
So one guy would park across the street, and you would park across the street facing the other direction, and whoever had like the loudest stereo and the hottest chick on, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be listening to Aldo fucking Nova, and you'd be
life is just a fantasy. Can you
have you seen that video lately? When you got a minute at home tonight, put the video on.
Yeah, that's it.
Beginning.
No, that's not the one either, because that has closed. You got it's got to be the one with the exposed headlights. These are all like new versions. That's the one. Yeah. That's the real one. That's the Burt Reynolds jammy right there.
Look how badass that car was. Look how badass that car was.
I think people who are not male cannot understand that. So, you know, you show that to a woman, especially like a mature woman. But someone who's been to college, they're going to look at that and go, what the fuck are you? What? Go back to that picture.
It would be cool to have that like black on like silver, like where you could only see it like silver wise. I was looking for a better one.
But... Well, there's people have done like little custom ones. I remember that. I'd seen some custom really cool spray painted ones, you know, like what's it called? Airgun. When those are like Airgun artists. Remember that? They used to do those that's a pretty dope one. Yeah. Remember they used to do like Vans, and on the side of Vans would be like some fucking like a Conan scene. Like a dude. Yeah, it was airbrushed, right? Uh-huh. There was a dude with a sword and, you know, like fucking women like Frank Frazetta style. Do you remember that? Like, that was a big thing. Those Vans.
To have a bar in there, you were pimping.
Yes.
Velour and shit.
Why go to a hotel?
With the little windows in the back, and they had, like, a moonroof. Dog, we could smoke in here. Pop the moonroof. Like, that was, like, big time.
Yeah,
like,
the
dog,
moonroof was huge.
The moonroof was fucking huge.
And what kind of artwork you had on the side of your van was
and it was
huge.
All ugly. You look at it today, and you go, what the fuck was I thinking? A fucking Japanese guy with a hammer. With a fish in his
Look
hand.
That sexy bitch.
I'm going to pull this up. Van with airbrush artwork.
There's a couple guys in Burbank that have that.
Really?
They airbrush vans, and it's like they'll change them all the time. And like the latest one was like Wonder Woman. She looked like a Mexican Wonder Woman though.
Dude, go to that. Go to Van with airbrush artwork. It's still going strong. There's still some fucking cool pictures out there. You just got to find these guys.
Oh, they still do it. Definitely.
I didn't know. I hadn't seen one in a long time. I've seen cool shit on, like, tour buses and stuff.
This is the kind of shit that is, like, by me at my house. Like, this is what it looks like.
That's awesome. Come on, man. How awesome is that? Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi,
some
C-3PO, aliens. That's pretty badass.
But there's a lot of them, yeah. Like, this is... Oh, God.
Someone's got to have a Frank Frazetta out there. I bet if I look up Frazetta, airbrush Frazetta. Okay. That guy had, in my opinion, like the, well, yeah, somebody's got something here. What is that? Does that look like a Frazetta? That guy had the best, like, fantasy art. When you were a kid, did you like Frank Frazetta? Do you remember those paintings?
That's Dealer.
No.
You know who he is?
No.
Did you ever get into books or comic books or any shit like that when you were young?
A couple months.
I was big into...
I was into Marvel, like the four...
Marvel Comics?
The Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four?
I liked the Silver Surfer. And the only reason... it was a long fucking story. I was into it like 9-10 months. We'd go to the festivals in the city and we'd try to buy Batman 3 or some shit. And
yeah.
It was just a couple months. Then I went off the deep end. It was no more fucking comic books.
Now it's all SpongeBob 24/7.
No fucking comic books.
Turned around and came right back to it. For me, I was really into those fantasy artists like Frazetta. I'm trying to think of some of the other names. There's a bunch of other names of guys who are like really, really famous for that. But Frazetta was my favorite because I was such a big fan of the Conan series, and he did a lot of the artwork. Pull some of those pictures up, man. They're incredible. It's just like that's to me like symbolized that kind of that genre of book. Did you ever have a van, Joey?
A van?
Yeah.
No. I drove a van for a construction... No, a hardware company for about 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
And then, I got fired. They're still there. They're still fucking there.
Really?
The hardware store on Fairview Avenue. Yeah.
When you go back and look at some shit from your childhood, it's strange when you see stuff that's still there.
The guy's still fucking there. That was the first... I got arrested January 29, 1983.
Really?
I got caught for possession of stolen tools, stolen property, like the dude crime type shit. I went out on bail. I paid a fine. I was on probation for 6 months or something like that. And that was it. It was dumb as fuck, but I worked at that lumberyard. And I had a good little job over there. I was a delivery driver. I could make my own little stops. At that time, I was doing a false, like a settlement type deal, so I had to go to the chiropractor. That gave me time to go to chiropractor and all that shit every day. It was like $2.50 a week, and I worked 6 days a week.
Wow.
And I had to drive to the Meadowlands and, different construction sites and drop off tools and linoleum and screws and nails. It was the shit you do.
I drove a van when I was about, I guess I was about 18. I had a van for a while for delivering newspapers. I bought like a second car because newspapers would fuck up my suspension. Like everybody who delivered newspapers, your suspension got fucked up by the Sunday paper because it's so much weight. Because you'd fill up your fucking trunk with newspapers and then you'd put them in the back seat. You'd stuff them in the front seat all the way up to the ceiling. So you were driving around like almost completely blind on the right-hand side. Like it was very tricky, like looking around at where you were going. And so after a while, I made a little bit of cash with this fucking venture. And like me, I'm always thinking of expanding. I got a van. I bought this big-ass cargo van with no windows.
And then I expanded
my route.
I was using red wagons.
Well, I had to figure out a way to make enough money that I didn't have to do anything else while I was competing. And so the only way I could really think of before I made money on teaching was deliver newspapers. That was the only thing that made sense to me because it was several hours a day, like 3 or 4 hours a day. But when it was done, it was done. And that's it. There was no boss to answer to. As long as I delivered the papers to where they were supposed to go, there was no problems. And I was good at it. I did it every day. And it taught me discipline. Like having something that you have to do 365 days a year makes you fucking do it. You just do it, you know?
You didn't even think about it.
You just fucking do it. It's part of your life. You just get up and do it.
I applied for a paper route one time. Like going into the eighth grade, I wanted to be a goody good, whatever.
A goody good.
And I applied for a paper route like in July. This motherfucker calls me like Thanksgiving week. And I don't even think about it. I go, okay. And he goes, you got to pick up. And it was 43rd Street Hill. This is a hill and a half. This is one of those hills in my hometown they compare to that San Francisco hill.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Rogan.
Lombard Street?
I walk over there, and it's fucking, 18 inches of snow, that East Coast snow, and I got to walk. And for 3 weeks, I had to break through that fucking thing, go over there at 4 in the afternoon. It's freezing. The sun comes down there. You're fucking freezing. I'm delivering paper, knocking on people's doors with that loop, with the people's fucking cards in it. Nobody had one of those things. You had a circle loop, and you had people's addresses when they paid you last, if they were good tippers.
Yeah.
You had all that shit on it. And I remember after 3 weeks just quitting, going, Doug, I ain't doing this shit no more. The hell's a motherfucker. I'd go work for my mother and make that in one fucking day what I'm making for you. $40. I got to hustle 6 days a week. I go into my mother's for one day. I play wiffle ball. I eat fucking Chinese food, and I come home with fucking 50, 60. Get the fuck out of here, man. Walk up and down the hill. Fuck you.
The fuck out of here.
The fuck out of here.
I learned how to drive in the snow, man. That's what I learned. I was driving in the snow, like, all winter long, because I drove every day. I drove every day. So if it snowed, I fucking drove. So I got so used to getting stuck. I'd get stuck everywhere. I'd slide into trees, like... I fucked up a lot of cars. My record was terrible by the time I moved to New York. It was like really hard for me to get insurance. I had a gang of accidents.
I was a horrible driver. Then I made the mistake of moving to Aspen. And you think you know what the fuck you're doing until there's black ice on that motherfucker.
Oh,
and you're going down the road listening to fucking Joe Welch, you know, Rocky Mountain High. And all of a sudden your car just goes like this, red band. Just goes, shh. And off that shish, this back just starts fucking spinning. You just go into a tailspin. You don't know what the fuck to do. You just go into a fucking tailspin, man.
Yeah.
And right there, you're like, oh, I got to learn how to drive and pay fucking attention. This is a complete... I hit so many fucking cars, Joe Rogan.
Of course.
I dented so many cars. I remember in Seattle, I was a car salesman. They used to give me a car. I would take the car at night and go to gigs, to one-nighters, and I'd lose fucking hubcaps. Oh, my God. I was horrible.
There's a terrible, terrible, terrible video, not this one, of some people going down a road, and they lose control of their car, and they hit a truck head-on. It's crazy. The people from behind them are filming it. The guy in front loses his shit, and just at the right time swerves into the oncoming lane.
No, I have no idea, man.
Oh, this guy just crossed, and oh, my God. Here you go, bitch.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this is scary. This guy's in the wrong fucking lane.
God, that's so scary.
Oh, my God, and he has to cross over. How does he cross over?
I don't miss any of this shit, man. I grew up in Ohio, so I had to deal with this all the time. But...
Look at this. Look, he spun out. Boom. Oh. Oncoming traffic. Boom.
The only good part is when you got in an accident, it wasn't as bad because you were sliding when you hit the
that
person.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. When you got in an accident in the snow, it's like bumper cars.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, people who don't know, they've never experienced that before. Boom! Like that in any other situation would be a devastating impact.
It still can be pretty shitty. Like this is bad because this is like...
Oh, this is horrible.
What is this guy doing?
He lost his shit.
Wow.
Like, you give me anxiety.
I know.
I'm watching this and I'm getting anxiety. I really honestly think that people who don't grow up driving in this kind of shit, you miss out on a certain amount of adversity in life. The fear that you get, the respect for the winter, you know? Oh, my God.
No, I don't want to see this.
Jesus Christ, this is going to be bad.
What the motherfucker?
Oh, look at this guy spinning out. God. Head oncoming traffic. No one can stop. Boosh!
How about the motherfuckers that get in that car in Colorado like that drunk?
Oh, yeah. Insane.
Go down 82. 82, Route 82. Look it up. It's one of the most dangerous roads in the fucking
country.
Oh, my
God. He's going over the cliff.
Oh.
Oh, he spun around. He got lucky. This is fucking scary. Please shut this off. This is not good. Okay. This is not good for your spirit. You're just seeing destruction. That's the weird thing about, like, the internet and, like, choosing to go search for shit. Like, you could see disturbing shit after, like, you just be bombarded by nothing but disturbing shit. Just, Whereas in real life, like, it's really hard to run into that much disturbing shit. But you could watch, if you drive every winter, you might see one of those crazy pileups in 10 years of driving.
I've lived in some
places. We just saw 10 in a row.
Right. You've lived in some places in Boston where it's just disturbing waking up in the morning.
It is.
And it's one disturbing sight. And everybody who comes to you, after a while, you start looking at them weird, like, what the fuck? Is this like, are they putting me on?
Yeah.
Like, that's how real some places are, man. There's places, situations you got yourself in that it's just a walking disturbance. You don't need to fucking look at this shit or go online.
Well, there's like a hopelessness to some places. You know, there's some places where when you're there, like especially in the winter, there's like a weird hopelessness. There's no joy. There's no Aspen to it. Like Aspen in the winter, it's kind of festive. People are skiing. The town's hopping. There's a lot of
smell the wood burning. It's fucking amazing.
The wood burning's great.
When you smell that wood burning, your whole heart stops. You're like, what the fuck?
It's beautiful.
It's completely different. I remember being 8 minutes from the greatest world, the greatest city in the world, and feeling hopeless. Like the Lincoln Tunnel, going across the Lincoln Tunnel is the biggest city in the world in 1980, like as a kid, and going, you know, this is hopelessness. This is too much. It was too fucking much then, you know. It was everything you wanted like that at 2 a.m.
That's everything you wanted?
What you could buy a machine gun with a bazooka in Harlem at 2 a.m. You go up to Harlem, there's a Puerto Rican that'll sit there for 10 minutes and go, let me think, bro. What do you want? I need a machine gun with a clip. I want to shoot 1,000 people. I need a stick of fucking dynamite. And they'll sit there for 10 minutes and go, I'll get you the dynamite tonight. And you're sitting there going, oh, shit.
Do you remember when that guy got arrested in Harlem because he had a tiger in his house? Do you remember? That's Harlem. If that story had happened in any other place in the world, if that was in Cleveland, I'd be like, how odd. But it's in Harlem, I was like, okay, I believe that. The dude got bit, and so that's how he got in trouble. His tiger bit him, and they found out this motherfucker had a tiger in his house. He had, like, a bunch of exotic pets. Let me pull up the story. A man had a tiger in his house in Harlem. Man, tiger in his... Harlem is... Has Harlem been gentrified?
Yes.
A lot of white people living in Harlem now?
It's all the way up to 140th now.
Oh, he didn't
and
just...
And beautiful. They didn't have to clean... You know,
he didn't just have a tiger. He had an alligator, too.
Oh, please. Those are pimps in Harlem, dog.
Imagine you come over to this guy's house.
I used to cop coke in Harlem all hours of the night. I used to, when I was 18, just out of high school, I used to go to 135th in Amsterdam, where you had to walk through the room where the chickens were fighting.
Right.
This is real. And you walk through the room where the chickens were fighting. And then you walked into a DJ booth, and they'd wait for you. And there were times I'd go over, and the cops were there. They wouldn't let you go in because somebody got shot. And then remember when who did Mike Tyson fight in Harlem at 4 a.m. one night, dog?
Mitch Blood Green.
Are you fucking kidding me?
At a haberdashery.
At a haberdashery at 4 a.m.
What's a haberdashery?
Like where you go buy clothes, men's clothing or something. Where brothers go to buy fucking clothes. Who goes to a haberdashery at 4? That's when you pull some Tom.
That's when you a gentleman,
that's
dog.
When you pull that Tom Cruise shit. Remember, what was that movie he made? We had to call the Arabian guy and get clothing, and the chick's daughter was fucking tremendous movie.
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise made a movie years ago with Nicole Kidman as his wife, and she had cheated on him with a fucking soldier. It was one of those movies by that director that fucking died.
Eyes Wide Shut?
Yes!
That was that was the thing. All I remember about that movie is the crazy dance.
Stanley Kubrick
directed
that. So it's a demented movie. They go to fuck the chick, and the chick dies of an OD in the doctor's office. And he's telling the guy to get it together, but he has to wear a cape and a mask. So he calls like this haberdashery at 2 a.m. in New York. They open up the fucking door and they give him a cape. And then the little Arabian girl's fucking the two Japanese employees. This is a tremendous fucking movie. Then he goes over there. He gets in. He goes to the back. Everybody's naked. Everybody's sucking and fucking. You got to walk around with a cape and a fucking mask and a magician's hat on. And then they threaten him. And he goes back home to Nicole Kidman. And she's telling them that one night while he was away, she fucked a sailor. So it's like going in his mind, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a fucked up movie. He gets the address from the piano player at the jazz bar. That's a great movie, by the way. It's a dark fucking movie. Remember they had it for a few years, then they released it. It was kind of weird because it was them two working together. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about.
Well, Eyes Wide Shut was... It was about like some weird elite sort of a cult.
Right, Scientology through the back door.
Yeah, was that what it was like? It was like he was trying. It was
they
really...
wore those masks, hung out with Callan, stuff like that.
There's a 1972. There's some photos that Duncan had on his website. They're photos from a 1972 Rothschild surrealist dinner party. It's so weird, man. It's so weird. So this is the Rothschilds. I guess I'm not like totally up on this, but they're supposed to be the people that are like, you know, elite banker type characters, right? So they've got this this party, and they're all wearing these crazy outfits, man. Like this lady's wearing like a stag head, like she has the head of a deer on in a mask, and the man is wearing this weird thing on his fucking head, and they have this dinner table set up with a baby doll, and like, it's fucking trippy shit. Really weird shit. Because these really were the Rothschilds, and this is really how they were rolling. They really did have parties where women would wear antlers on their heads, where they would have naked women pushed around on like a looks like a casket covered in roses. It's like, it's really strange, or at least an effigy of a naked woman. Actually, it looks like, I can't tell if that's a real woman.
They kill a bitch. They kill a bitch too. They would kill a bitch and drop her in the woods.
This looks like
shit.
Just like a hipster party.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a party for sure.
Yeah, they're crazy people.
It's a bit of a party for sure, but I think the idea...
They like some freaky shit.
If you want to follow the conspiracy theory, the idea is that these type of people, these elite societies, that what they would do is they would have these rituals, and they would do something really fucked up so no one could ever talk about it. Like they would kill somebody. Like they'd take a prostitute and kill her in front of everybody and then bury her somewhere. And no one could talk about it because they were all implicated. And so that's everyone, you know. It's like your bond to this cult. That was the idea. I mean, that's always... Look at that. That woman's wearing a fucking stag head. It's like a big deer mask. How weird. When you have like billions of dollars... It's 1976. You're like, fuck it. You know, there's no internet. You can't get in trouble. No anonymous is going to fucking take down your website because you're some crazy Rothschild's character. These people back then, Jesus Christ.
Brother, to have so much money that you pay off an attorney the night before the party, like a liaison to the police department.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking have a service come in to park cars. They're not allowed in there. Everybody has masks, so even if you do kill a bitch, nobody knows who killed it. It was some dude with a fucking goat's face on. You don't know who the fuck that was.
Yeah.
There's no IDs. There's no nothing. You're fucking bareback. You're just spreading chlamydia like a motherfucker at those things. No, I'm lying. Those chicks get checked out. Those dudes go all out. They fucking send those bitches to the doctor, blood test, pussy scans, asshole, the whole fucking thing.
What's the best scan for pussies? Is it an MRI?
I don't fucking know. I don't, you know, it's got to be something, you know, some fucking freaky shit up in Rock Springs, Wyoming and shit. I'm telling you, that's why they take those hookers and they revitalize them. They put some pep in their step.
Well, back in those cowboy days, right, they used to have the brothels where they would, like, go in this big fucking wooden building, you know, and the upstairs would... I mean, all the Outlaw Josie Wales movies. I mean, that... What was the movie, the comeback movie for him way back in, you know, like with Morgan Freeman?
Unforgiven,
thank you. That movie was about a prostitute at a brothel getting cut up by a bad guy and then him going after them. Remember that?
Yes, that's a good movie. I gotta
watch
that.
It's a great fucking movie. Unforgiven is, in my opinion,
one of the best. Yeah. It's
all time.
And it's a black fucking sheep. Nobody really watched.
Exactly.
Or Tulsa. What's that?
And it's so realistic, man. It's like he went and did the exact opposite of like... You know, like a hero movie where everything's predictable. Like, it was not predictable at all. It was very dark and very realistic. Like, very realistic and tuned in to that era. Like, when he starts drinking and turns evil, like, you fucking believe every word of it. When he comes in all sweaty and fucked up and just kills everybody. God damn, dude. And how everybody's freaking out. They're scared. They can't pull their gun out in time. And he's just blasting them one after the other. That was a fucking hard-hitting movie.
I'm going to have to watch it again this week. Maybe we'll watch it in Milwaukee. We'll have a party.
Yeah.
And some bitches stab them. The whole fucking thing. I can't stab a bitch at this age. You can't stab them.
They fight back. I wouldn't want to do it anyway, but I would say.
But that creepy shit where they have quickly. The parties and the chick don't know she's going to die, that's got to be horrible. You do it with like four people who have families.
Could you imagine?
Being sophisticated, you're a millionaire. You have so much to fucking lose. But, you know, listen, man, when you have money in the billions, I can't imagine. Listen, you're 50 years old, you're going to go, fuck it. I'm going to go do everything I've ever wanted to do. And you write a bucket list, bitch. And on that list is getting eight chicks, the hottest chicks in the world, getting them checked out for chlamydia. And Fidel used to do that. They said that Fidel would go up to you whether you were married or not. He'd send the fucking guy over to you and say, call this number tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Right in a restaurant. You could be sitting there with your wife. A soldier would come up to your wife and give her a card. Got to call that number the next day. Next day, a fucking car comes to the house, picks your wife up, takes her for a physical examination. The next day, she has to have a nice dress delivered with some flowers. She's going to Fidel's for some yum-yums.
So you would have to just dress your wife down, wouldn't you? You'd just like to make her look like shit.
Is that real? He was just steal wives?
I'm not sure about the wives, but I know that he was doing it to women, you know? He was doing it to women. Just you rent a restaurant, you're outside. He would have people going out and hunting bitches for him.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's what you gotta listen, guys.
But that's
knows?
A dictator.
Yeah, who knows what you do if you're put in that position, you know? I was watching that thing. God, what's that crazy fuck from San Francisco that made everybody drink the juice down in Guyana?
Oh, Jim Jones.
You ever watch that thing for 2 hours in biography when you wake up and you can't go back to bed? You had like a fucking Red Bull at the club. And you're watching this. And this was a, listen, I could see you talking three people. But he had thousands of people that giving him the Social Security checks. That guy was raking and fucking. He had them living in huts. You imagine that? I'm going to give you my money. I'm going to live in the huts with mosquito, no air conditioning. I got to do my own laundry. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Thousands of people who were just lost, you know, who just wanted a new fucking life. That just, that's mind-boggling, man.
Well, I mean, what about the Branch Davidians? I mean, they had that place, and then they would leave the compound and go to jobs and come back to the compound. They all
now,
lived...
are they making a comeback?
I don't know.
No, no. Yeah, really? Yeah, something happened. The son, he fucking...
Okay, let's find out. Branch Davidians.
Yeah, the Branch Davidians could be back. They're working under a new name or something like that there.
A new cult.
Let's see. Comeback. Branch Davidians comeback. I remember, though, when it was... wow, they're trying to make a comeback. But this was 2007.
Yeah, well, they still got to be trying, you know. That's a long comeback.
I remember part of the deal, though, the Branch Davidians deal, was that he got to fuck them. That was like part of his gig.
Well, you know, he's Jesus. He's spreading the seed. He's got to spread the love. And you buy it. You got to sit there and look at your wife and go, go ahead. You know, our lives will be better if he gives you a fucking stabbing. I mean, it's disgusting. I know somebody who lived through that, man. One of those cults, and she would tell me the stories, and I would sit there and ask, why didn't she sue her parents? In today's world, I would take her parents to fucking court.
Right.
And go,
in today's
what the
world.
Fuck were you people fucking thinking? I mean, they tracked down fucking people from all these wars that did war crimes. These are war crimes. Listen, if a kid wants to do something, he has to be an adult. He has to consent. There's no kid that wants to grow up in Indiana in some house with 80 fucking kids where they have to eat everything they kill. And they even were drinking blood pudding and shit. So part of the deal was the guy fucks your wife. This family I'm talking about had maybe 9 kids. 4 of them belonged to the cult leader. So after the cult dissolved, now these people got to eat dinner in the summers. They're all on Facebook jumping up and down. This guy don't look like my fucking brother. You know, what does that do to your fuck? And the parents are sitting there playing the guitars, jumping up and down like, you know, life is beautiful. What the fuck, life is beautiful? 4 of your kids belong to some cult leader, and your husband is sitting there like a fucking savage. I mean, these are things that are just disgusting. This is just disgusting shit.
Yeah, they always get to fuck the women. That's part of the deal.
That's part of the fucking deal, and the husband's going to sit there playing the guitar, making Kool-Aid, like some fucking jack-off. Like some fucking jack-off. I mean, I never understood this shit. But.
Well, it's amazing when they study cults how the same sort of pattern plays itself out.
Yeah, everybody wants a sling dick, and that's part of it. That's part of the 401k. I got to fuck everybody in this motherfucker.
It is part of it, right? Weird thing with men.
And they fuck like 17-year-olds on the cusp of being 18. I mean, these guys were having it. These guys should be shot. I heard that particular guy was still alive in a different state.
Who?
The people I'm talking about, that the cult leader that they defunct from.
Oh, the guy
still alive
from,
and they're trying to sue him. And,
oh, you know, I thought you meant
Koresh.
Babies
killed. Yeah, he killed a few babies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're disgusting. After a while.
Well, how many minor league cults are there out there that we don't know about? Is there a gang of them?
Millions.
Are the Moonies still around?
Harry Christmas?
No, the Moonies.
I don't know.
The Moonies were like an East Coast thing.
I haven't even seen the Harry Christmas.
Sun Young Moon?
I haven't even seen Harry Christmas lately.
No?
No, with the little hair, nothing. In Boulder, they're there every other week. But not, no, I never see them out here.
Yeah, it's a nickname, apparently. I thought it was the real name. It's from the Unification Church.
Right, yeah, Sun Young Moon and shit. He was big in the 70s. They can't survive, man. It's
the Amish.
Who the fuck knows?
Let's see, recent use. A 1996 article in The Independent about former Prime Minister Edward Heath gave at a Unification Church-sponsored conference. He admitted the term Mooney has entered the language and meaning a brainwashed, bright-eyed zombie. 2004. Yeah, I guess they're around still, man. Huh. Yeah, wow. The Unification Church. It's got to be harder to do one of those things today, though, no?
Wow. I don't know if you have to get state fucking approval. There's some states that are like allow cults.
Well, you know, as far as like religions go.
It's a church. Yeah, it's a church. They get like a tax deduction.
Yeah.
The whole fucking thing, you know.
Because that's what Alex Gray has. That artist, he's got a church. Like, he's the one who does all those crazy psychedelic paintings. That guy's got a church. I mean, his whole thing is a non-profit. Like, he's been approved by the government, which is pretty incredible.
We could all get approved.
You think so?
But who wants that fucking creepy feeling? I would never want that creepy feeling to think that I was walking on fucking water.
Oh.
And then you... Bro, all of them have that. They all become that. They all become that.
I know.
There's no way to look back. They all become that creepy person.
Yeah, is there anyone who's ever made a cult where it worked out really good?
Look them up. I don't know. I mean,
Scientology, Hollywood.
You know.
Well, Scientology works out good for some people. You know, it's worked out really good for Tom Cruise. Works out really good for John Travolta. Works out really good for like the head actor guys and like, you know, people who are at the head of, I mean, whatever their group of like top people in Scientology. Works out good for them.
Is that a blue cigarette that you're smoking?
This is crack cocaine.
Do you know that Bloomberg's trying to get rid of those?
He should.
I don't want to give a fuck. I don't know what.
Why do you say that?
Look at Jenny McCarthy. She took over Stephen Dorff.
Yeah, I know. She's a new blue cigarette person.
I'll see that.
So they went from black and white to really color, super hot chick. Like black and white, like film noir. Well, I guess they're doing that with this too. The other one, it's not. Ew, it's so gross. They're like being silly with each other. Ha ha ha. Let's smoke this. Ha ha ha. She couldn't possibly smoke in real life and still be that hot, could she? Is that possible?
She smokes.
Really?
You could tell she's a smoker.
Good googly moogly.
In between fucking hummers, you got to do something with that fucking mouth. You know what I'm saying? Add some nicotine into those jaws in between fucking. She's beautiful, Jenny.
She's beautiful.
She really is. I don't give a fuck. She's still pissed at Jim Carrey. He don't come visit the fucking kids. I'm done fucking you. I'm going to come see the kids for. Right or wrong? Ooh. Right or wrong? No, she's pissed. Listen, we don't fuck no more. I got to come see your kid. When I was eating your ass, I was his best friend.
Ah.
You know, I ain't eating your ass no more. I'm going to come over and read him a book. Fuck you. You know, it's the truth.
Yeah, it is. It's hard.
It's a man thing.
To man up.
Now he's going to go have a family. I got to go over there and visit Jenny McCarthy. You know she wants to smoke that pole and talk about Ace Ventura. You know, Jenny McCarthy. She'll suck your dick. That's a freak. I ain't mad at her. I love Jenny McCarthy. I've been watching her. She's great.
She'd talk about how amazing you were in Ace Ventura.
Yeah. Next thing you know, she's swallowing your sword. You're petting the cat. Everybody's fucking happy. Get the fuck out of here. I can't go over. You know, I can't be around Jenny McCarthy. Once you fuck Jenny McCarthy, can you imagine being around her?
Not fucking her?
No, yeah. You're single.
Yeah.
Not really. Jenny, cut it out. Let's go in that bedroom. I'm gonna fucking Ace Ventura you to that fucking door there. Oh my god.
The competition for a woman that hot is off the charts.
She's beautiful. She's funny, she's great, she writes fucking books. She's been around, she's done a lot with Playmate thing, dog. She's done a lot with it. You gotta really, this chick was out of Chicago. White chick came out as a comic with the Nerdist on that show. When I moved to L.A., that show was it. It was getting cast by Judy Brown. Stanhope was on it. The fucking Jenny McCarthy show. I read for it.
Was that a remote control?
No,
the new
remote control
sitcom
on MTV. No, on MTV they gave her a show.
Was she on Single Now?
Yeah.
What was remote control? That wasn't her.
That was a game show.
Oh, that was a different one. Okay, Singled Out was with her and the Nerdist.
The Nerdist.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, come on now. Jenny McCarthy's a bad bitch, dog. She's been around a long time, man. No fucking dirty movies, no nothing. Nobody's got a picture of her sucking a cock. Nobody. Nobody's got a picture of Jenny McCarthy
on
all fours.
If they did, it wouldn't hurt her. She would just own up.
No,
to it.
She looks beautiful. She's fucking hot as a fat ass.
That used to be that would be a deal killer for a woman back in the day.
It almost killed the chick from Miss America. What was the chick?
The
mixed chick. They call her eating pussy on all fours. Look at that picture. Look at that picture and what it did in 1984 to her career. And that bitch came out with albums. Bam! Married a Laker. Bam!
What's her name again? Vanessa?
Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams. She was beautiful.
Yeah, wow. Man.
She was fine.
Look at the picture of her eating that fucking Moncois.
She was on the Moncois.
She's on all fours. She's got her fucking nostrils in it.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful woman.
That's a beautiful woman. You know, now she's 50, she's 40. I mean, you know, I'm talking about when she was 20. She won Miss America and they took the crown from her because somebody fucking developed those pictures.
Yeah.
On all fours?
It was a different world. Now they would, like, encourage that shit.
Yeah, now you do that, you get a fucking show on the Kardashians underneath.
Yeah, and that way people would pay attention. You know, having something like that. I mean, look at Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian. It made them, really. I mean, it made them more popular.
And this chick had a ton of fuck. I mean, she put out a music album. Every once in a while, I still put the album on, Running Back to You. Tremendous. She was, like, dancing and shit, 1991, 92.
She did movies, too, didn't she?
She did the movie with Arnold. Oh, shit!
Yeah, what was that?
What was that movie? Witness. She was a witness relocation plan, and he took her, and she stole the disc from the company, and come on now. Yeah, man. She made us. And then she was on some other TV show for a while.
Wow.
That's a badass motherfucker.
Damn, that was a long-ass time ago.
Yeah, she's been around for a long time, but they killed her with that pussy picture of her eating some poor girl, having a good old yum-yum time in college. Is she out of Texas?
I don't know.
Look and see if she's out of where she's out of. She's out of somewhere that you... It's what? They made her like... And she's tall, too.
Is she?
Yeah, she's tall.
Vanessa Williams. There's another one, an actress, that was named Vanessa Williams, too, right? Remember that?
I don't know.
Remember there was two Vanessa Williams for a while? It was fucking confusing as shit. There's Vanessa L. Williams, and then Vanessa Williams. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Where's she from?
She is from Millwood, New York.
Where'd she go to college? Texas?
I don't know.
Something happened in Texas. Something.
Doesn't say. But yeah, she's...
I can't show that one.
She's born in 63, so she's 50.
She's 50.
Son of a gun. Now I see what you're
She's got a couple kids. She still works a lot for ABC shows.
She's still beautiful. Time is a motherfucker, dude. It waits for nobody. Waits for nobody. Oh, there's another Vanessa Williams. Okay, there's a young girl named
Vanessa.
There you
go, right
Williams.
There. Look at her.
She's next to this rock.
Right
in the ocean.
Awful. Yeah, right
She's like, a pumpkin's there. She's like, boy, this pumpkin smells fresh. Look how big it is.
Fresh pumpkin.
Yeah, how weird. Yeah, we can't show that. We get in trouble, folks. We can get trouble. Yeah, it's weird when you go back and look at, like, you ever watch a movie from that era? Like, I watched, what was that movie where the guy played the video game and the video game taught Starfighter? Remember? That was, the guy's name was Alex Rogan. I remember that. Cause, I'm like, he's got my last name. And he was a guy who learned how to, pilot this spacecraft during playing this video game.
Flight
was like the best
navigator?
At it. No. It was like Starfighter.
Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter. Was that it?
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Oh, yeah. What's his name in it? The black dude? And he was just like, dressed. He looked all weird and creepy.
The black guy. Which black guy?
The one.
It says it stars Lance Guest, Robert Preston, K.E. Cuter. See full cast and crew.
No.
Just look up the last Starfighter.
I was thinking of something else.
And like this video game guy, seemingly doomed to stay in his trailer park home all his life, finds himself recruited as a gunner for an alien defense force. It was so dumb.
Remember what was this guy's name? He was the main guy in it, right?
Yeah, that was the main guy in it. Who was he?
Yeah, I thought he was somebody.
I think you're thinking of Enemy Mine.
That's what it was.
And you're thinking of Louis Gossett. Is that who it is?
Yes,
Louis Gossett Jr.?
You're,
is that the guy's name?
You're 100% right.
He's the man from, remember that, Officer and a Gentleman?
Fuck yeah.
That was a great fucking movie.
Yeah. If you haven't
that
seen
was
it,
a
gotta,
great
I took me
movie.
Months to watch that. I couldn't get over him because I had a girlfriend that liked that motherfucker, so I hated him. I hated that motherfucker. I went to see American Gigolo and he showed his ass. I lost my edge after that. And then he'd come out with Office and the Gentleman. I caught it on 178th Street for $5 with Tifa Hartz, with Stephen Bauer and the other chick.
Wow.
That was the first big movie they gave Stephen Bauer after Scarface. And fucking Office and the Gentleman. Where the fuck you been? At an orgy? Listening to Rolling Stones? Bad mouth in your country? He's dropping some knowledge. Then Lou Gossett started busting out old school karate moves and shit.
Oh, that's
like
right.
Like Shotokan karate moves. And he would like tell, oh my God, you CSI Miami was in there. That dude that was taking on, remember, he pulled him up there and choked him out And he tapped out, and then they threw him out of there. Plus, the other guy was in that movie. Officer and a Gentleman is deep.
Dude, pull up the fight scene from Officer and a Gentleman.
There's a couple of them, but when he walks up on him, anybody want to come up here? How about you, Mayonnaise?
That's right.
Remember, his name was Mayo. But let me tell you what the baddest part of that movie is. When you really realize who fucking Richard Gere is the first scene when his father comes in and they just had an orgy. His father is played by Frank Lopez from Scarface, fresh off Scarface, and whatever his name is combing his hair. And all of a sudden his father comes in, he moves over, he takes his dick out, and he's pissing in front of him. He goes, "That was some fucking night, huh?" He goes, "Not like those bitches in Thailand." I mean, he was just, and he goes, "Where are you going?" And he goes, "I got to drop something on you. I'm a fucking officer." And he goes, "Look at you. You ain't no fucking officer." Remember, he hits the glass and shit. "You ain't no fucking officer. Look at you." And he goes, "What's your problem? You might have to salute me someday." Fucking tremendous scene. He walks out. "Where you going? Come on. I was only kidding." That's a great fucking movie.
That's a great movie.
That scene in the beginning, that was Frank Lopez. That was Frank Lopez's. I think it was after Scarface. So he left Scarface getting shot. You know, they threw him out of his own. There you go.
That's when he's trying to, he's telling right him to quit.
Talking about flying. He was talking about character. "I've changed. I've changed since I've been here."
"Hell, you have.
I've changed, sir."
"No. You just polished up your act a little bit. You just shined it up. Now tell me what I want to hear. I want your D.O.R.
"No, sir.
I want your D.O.R.
I ain't gonna quit."
"Spell it.
D.O.R. I ain't gonna quit."
"Yeah, then you can be free, and you and your daddy can get drunk and go whole
chasing." He doesn't know
again,
it's D.O.O.R.
"No, sir. D.O.R. I ain't gonna quit."
"All right, then you can forget it. You're out."
That's the line right here.
"Don't do it.
I got nowhere else to
go."
That's
it. That's it, dog.
I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That was incredible.
That's incredible, dog.
I forgive him for all his crazy Buddhist bullshit. Remember after 9/11? "We need to use love." He got on stage in New York and was like, "We need to use love and love them." Like, ooh, I don't know if that's the right answer. We need to figure out how to stop planes from flying into buildings before we worry about love. People ain't going to be not flying planes into buildings because you were really good an officer and a gentleman.
He was selling belt buckles to fucking those dudes.
He was?
A dude from CSI Miami comes up to me and goes, "Dog, is it worth you making a couple dollars?"
Oh, that's right.
"Thrown out of here."
That's right. He was selling clean
belt
buckles.
He was selling
buckles.
Clean belt buckles. And this is a tremendous movie, dog.
Got in trouble because he was hustling.
God damn. Yeah. I remember seeing what's his name at the store one night. I shook his hand. He's like a big AA guy, you know, Lou Gossett Jr.
Is he?
He was at the store one night, man, cooler than fuck. I shook his fucking hand. And I said, "Dog, Officer and a Gentleman, you know, you're a bad dude. You got a tremendous resume."
Do you remember Good Times?
Fuck yeah. I saw the father up there, too. Remember, we were up there together.
We used to see him all the time.
All the time. I used to be a stand-up comic up here.
Oh, he was fucking hilarious, man. John Amos. That guy was fun, dude.
Good dude.
He was so nice.
Good dude. Yeah, very, very fucking nice.
He was the first, like, really famous guy that I ever met that I didn't feel weird talking to.
No, he was...
He gave you no judgment. Like, he was just hanging out with you.
He was a fan of comedy. He respected it.
Oh.
So that's the difference. When somebody sits back there and goes, "Dog, I appreciate what the fuck you do. I tried it for 3 years, and it wasn't me." I remember the dude from Badass Actor.
John Amos.
Plumber.
He was good.
Glenn
good
Plummer
too.
Used to always come into the store.
Glenn Plummer? Who's that?
Black dude that was in the movie with Sean Penn when they did the movie about the gangs in L.A. And then he did 1,000 things. I just saw him in fucking Sons of Anarchy. I mean, he's still working.
Wow.
I saw him at the store. He'd come up to me and go, "Dog, what you do?" And I'm going, "Really? You don't want to do it?" I remember hosting at the store, bringing him up. And I'm going, "Dog, please don't embarrass me." I go, "You've done movies with fucking Andy Garcia. And he's into things to do in Denver when you're dead."
Oh!
That scene, the two black dudes. It's him, Cheadle, and the dude from fucking...
This guy.
Colors.
Yes.
Colors.
Oh, dude.
Colors. Yeah, he used to come to the store all the time.
That guy's excellent.
Yeah, he just got shot on Sons of Anarchy the last 2 seasons or something like that. It's amazing.
John Amos was the first guy that ever gave me a compliment, too, that was, like, famous. Like, the first guy that I ever talked to, like, that told me they had a good time at a show.
He was sitting in the back of the store.
All the time.
Having a great time, man.
And we'd come up to you and talk to you about bits.
Man.
"Joey, I'd love when you did this bit."
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
the way you did that. No, you remember I used to have that tiger fucking bit?
Yeah, yeah.
He came up to me one night after the show and he goes, "You're so free up there, man." He goes, "It's you're so free." And anyway, I had to figure out how to do that bit right. And one of the ways that I learned how to do that bit right was like, you know, do it different ways. And he kind of explained to me like what was good about it. He because he's such a great actor. Like even in Good Times, like you watch that show. Yes, fuck yeah, he was in Roots. That's right. He got his foot chopped off. Remember?
Yes, he was in Roots.
He was so good as an actor. Like even in like a sitcom, it's like he had these powerful fucking moments, right? So when he told me, it's like, you know, like, you're so, it's so free up there when you're doing that. You're so free. He goes, you're not thinking about shit. He's like, you like thinking like that tiger. And I realized, like, that's really the way to do it. You got to actually almost pretend you're a tiger. Like, think like that thing thinks. And that's the way it worked.
That's the joke,
I kind of figured it out because of him talking to me about it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, that's it. And it made me so confident because he said that. You know, I'm like, Jesus, John Amos said that? It's got to be right. It's like, this is 100%. Like, that's the guy from Roots. That's the guy from Good Times. That's John Amos.
Coming to America.
Oh, that's right. Shit, that's right. That was incredible.
Stay off the drugs.
Yes. Oh, that's incredible.
I watched Omit the Logic again the other night.
Oh, the Richard Pryor documentary?
Did you watch it yet?
Dude, that makes me nervous.
You gotta watch when he goes to the Hollywood Bowl. When he goes to the Hollywood Bowl and goes off,
it's amazing
for some gay foundation, the people. But you know, man,
what did he do?
He went to the Hollywood Bowl for this packed thing, all-star lineup, Bette Midler to support gay people, and he got on out there. And he goes, "Where the fuck were you when they burning Watts? You could kiss my rich black ass. Fuck you!" And he got off, and the host got on. I'm so embarrassed. Oh my god. And they're booing him, and the next day it was in Variety and shit.
Really?
And how they gave him all his dough, and they took it back. He made Jim Brown the president of his company. How much blow are you doing?
Well, he was doing a lot of things with Jim Brown.
Jim Brown, so.
Jim Brown is in his act, remember? Very, like Jim telling him to get off cocaine.
Very interesting. Omit the, and yeah, you know what, man? It makes you scared because you know that there's parts of that relate. We're obsessed in other ways. You know what they are. We're obsessed in other ways that whatever. That doesn't have to be cocaine and weapons, bro. He was married 7 times, Joe. Well, what about the time when he went upstairs with the bitch and the guy goes, the next morning he knocked on my door. I go, Richard, what are you doing? He goes, I got to get a divorce. You know, it was just craziness. That's crazy shit. But that's what people don't know is when you're in that zone. And you're at the Comedy Store, and the Chinese guys are giving you drinks in the back. I can't even imagine. I couldn't imagine being there when Kennison was there with Lenny Clark, and there's 18 hitters in the back, and everybody's drinking, and Mitzi Shaw. And I know we always talk about this, but we got to show the mental side of comedy. Bro, you got to be a savage. There's a part of you that after a certain level, you have to become a savage. You really do, man. I'm a savage, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, there's no way around it. If you don't do it, you won't survive. Like, the very thing that you need to become a real comic, it's like you have to have this freedom. You have to have a freedom of thinking. You have this ability to go to these dark places. And we learned that from that fucking crazy haunted house. That's
before.
A big part. You did a little, but you learned it there. You learned it there.
I learned how to
you
talk
changed.
About it. Listen, man, I remember being 16 and going home. You were a junior in high school. I wasn't sleeping. I mean, at this time, there was no sleep apnea. I just wasn't sleeping.
You were doing coke?
I was doing coke by myself.
By yourself?
I would go home and listen to Master Reality by Black Sabbath. Which is Into the Void and people getting popes hanging on a rope. And I would do the coke, and I'd probably do a little hit of mescaline, too, or something to get me going. And I'd sit in that fucking corner. I didn't smoke cigarettes. I didn't do nothing. I'd just go do this. Look, I'd rock like a fucking retard. Back and forth. I still remember that shit.
Wow.
And I'd be like, Jesus Christ, this is my life. I'm going to fucking kill somebody. Listen to this shit.
You know? How many days can you stay up for before you start going crazy? There's a number, right?
Three.
How many days have you ever done it?
Coke?
How many days have you stayed up?
I've never done that.
You never stayed up?
No, I never did that. I still went to bed.
How many days have you stayed up?
One time, I stayed up. 3 nights.
Friday, God.
Saturday. And by Saturday night, I kept calling the police. Right? I kept calling the police, telling them that there was somebody in my house, right? And this is when I was house-sitting on Faraway Road in Snowmass Village.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm up there, and me and my girlfriend were going off. Listen to this. Me and my girlfriend at the time are going to her brother's wedding, and I'm going to meet her parents for the first time. And I went to New York, and I got 2 ounces of blow, and I gave one to an electrician buddy of mine. And I said, hold an ounce of this. I'm going to pick it up the night before I go to fucking this wedding. And I get there about 11 o'clock on a Thursday night. I pick up the ounce. I go home. About 1 o'clock, the motherfucker's calling me.
Wow.
I do a line. I do another line. Let me tell you how bad it got. The dog I had at the time, Hercules, was probably a year old. I loved him. I didn't let him out of the house the whole weekend. He held that piss like a soldier.
Do you understand
me? I didn't let him
out. For a whole weekend, he held his piss?
I wouldn't let him out. This is how crazy I was.
Is that possible?
Who the fuck cares? He didn't piss. I kept looking at him every time he cried. That's it. You ain't going out. And I had no porn, right? So I whacked off to what's the movie with the lady in red?
Vanessa Redgrave?
The lady in red, the chick that was married to Steve Seagal, you fuck.
Oh, what is her name?
Michelle LeBrock. Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock. Yeah. And Kelly LeBrock in Woman in Red shows her pussy for a slip second.
No.
Yes, she does. When Gene Wilder calls for her. When Gene Wilder calls for her, she runs off the bed and they show her bush. I figured out with the VCR how to lock it on her fucking bush. And I'd sit there with my dick in my belly button and I'd whack it off. And then I'd hear something happen and I'd call the cops. And after the third time, they sat me down. They're like, listen, you got to stop doing cocaine. I had the cocaine hidden in the sink. So if somebody happened, I'd lift the water and hit the compressor button. But there's one tiny minute in Lady in Red where she shows her fucking pussy.
She shows her red hot panties, right? That's the idea?
No, she gets up off the bed.
It says, lets her dress fly and shows her red hot panties.
No, it's when Gene Wilder comes calling for her. And she gets up and shows that little bush. Oh, that drove me fucking crazy. I sat there. She reminded me of an old girlfriend in high school.
She was beautiful. My God. Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder and her were in a movie together naked.
That's what I'm saying. What do you think I'm talking about?
Crazy.
Yes.
I know. I know what you're saying, but I'm like, that's crazy.
Lady in Red.
That's what it was called?
Woman in Red. I'm so sorry. Woman in Red.
She was in Steven Seagal movies too, right? She was in.
She was in Back for More, whatever. Like
Back for More.
Because then he started beating her. Remember?
I don't know.
Yeah, he started beating her and put. Remember, she was an acupuncturist.
Is that true?
Yeah, he was her acupuncturist. And one day he just started beating. He said, "Fuck the needle."
What? So are you making shit up, man?
No, he did beat her. He did something to her. She's pissed. She was on Celebrity Rehab, one of those celebrity losing weight show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys. Why? Come on now.
Here, yeah, she's when hot now.
I think Steve Seagal's third movie was with her. Yeah. Back in Danger, whatever the fuck, with the kid. They shot the kid and him with the wife, and then he went to the ranch. Yeah, she.
No, whoa.
Yeah, she gained the weight. Yeah, Steven Seagal.
Stress, man. A lot of goddamn stress.
She moved to a fucking ranch and started eating potato chips. There was no stress. With that Steven Seagal money, she saw what he made on one of those fucking movies. Steven Seagal was getting paid, dog, for a while. He was a big megastar. You know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Look at
yeah, him. When he was doing, like, Above the Law and all those movies.
Above the Law is a good movie. Don't ever get confused.
Good fucking movie.
They would have never gave him another eight if Above the Law. In the beginning, when he's doing the class with the Aikido dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the movie starts. Yeah. When he goes to that bar and starts bitch-slapping people with that fucking straight arm to the neck, that was tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then he started killing Jamaicans. What was the movie with the fucking Jamaicans and shit? I see that black dude in auditions and shit. I want to shake his hand. What's the move with the Jamaicans when he went to the mall with the Colombians and the Santeria? Fucking tremendous, that movie. That
what was that movie?
That was Back for More, too.
Back for More, too. Oh, that's funny. Okay, what is his Wikipedia? We need to find out what the fuck that movie is. He's still banging out movies.
Marked for Death.
Marked for Death.
That's a good one.
How many movies do you think he's done? Take a guess.
Steven Seagal?
62.
67.
I bet he's done. Yeah. Let's see. He did stunts in some earlier movies, man. Never Say Never Again. Is that a James Bond movie?
Yeah.
He was a martial arts instructor in that.
Yeah.
View to a Kill. And then Above the Law was like 88. Yeah, that was his first movie. Damn, this motherfucker's done a lot
of
movies.
When I kidnapped that dude and the cops were looking for me, I hit out with Above the Law and Lethal Weapon. And I fucking watched them over and over. And I was blown away by Above the Law. I really was. I was blown away. Look at that. The Jamaicans. What was his name? What was the fucking black one eye, glass eye? What was the Jamaican's name?
I don't remember.
He killed the brother, and then the brother popped up.
Well, you know.
Oh, he had a glass eye, right?
Something weird.
His fight scenes in these early movies were like the first realistic fight scenes in a movie, where dude was like slapping guys' arms down and fucking knuckling them in the face. It wasn't like these giant,
bam!
Yeah, you know what I mean. It was like more like that. It wasn't like it was the first time we ever saw Aikido, but it was also it wasn't like a giant flying split kick where he kicks two dudes at the same time. Yeah. It was more brutal than we had ever seen in movies before. Like, as far as, like, karate scenes, it seemed more brutal and more realistic.
I never saw a Steven Seagal movie in a black movie theater, but it must be brutal. They go, and they cheer for white people. Black people don't cheer for black people in movie theaters. They cheer for white people, smacking the fuck. I saw Rambo 2. I saw the second Rambo on 178th Street in Harlem. It was one of the funniest things I had ever. To this day, I always say it. When he fucking comes, and when he opens his eyes in the mud. Remember that scene when he opens his eyes?
Yes.
The money stands, the German guy?
Yes.
Black people went fucking bananas, dog. I'd never seen nothing like that. Can't even imagine a Steven Seagal movie on 178th Street.
Back in the day, we missed the window. The window was in like right about Above the Law. If you got in at Above the Law in the 1980s and went to Harlem and watched Above the Law, I bet it would be one of the most incredible experiences of your life.
You'd laugh your ass off.
I saw Planet of the Fucking Apes in Philly. And Tommy Jr. and his girl, we went to a theater in the middle of Philly, and this was like when the UFC had fights in Philly, and we got there like a day early. We played pool, and we got so high, we were terrified of our own shadow, and then we went to this black neighborhood. It was the only place that they had that we didn't even know. We didn't know it was like an urban neighborhood until we got there. But once we were in the theater, we were like, oh, my God, we're the only white people here. There's like maybe like three other white people. We found each other. We huddled together. And then we went to the movie theater. But when we got in there, it was hilarious, man.
Hilarious.
Like, there's dudes who are artists at yelling shit out. There's dudes who are artists.
They do it perfectly.
Oh, you fucked up now.
Yeah. They
Like, I don't like it for the most part. Like,
it's gotta
most
be
people
funny.
Are bad at it.
It's
yeah.
gotta be funny. If it's funny, it's brilliant.
Yeah. And some dudes try too hard. The worst is when there's a funny dude and his not funny friend is like fucking really loud. He tries too hard. Like, one dude will say some funny shit and then his other friends will chime in and try to like top him and they can't. They don't know they're not funny yet.
I saw a Clint Eastwood marathon in San Francisco on the Tenderloin when Clint Eastwood tells the guy to pick up the gun. And the black guy yelled from the back, shoot that black motherfucker. The place went down. He just said, shoot that black motherfucker.
When Planet of the Apes.
White people. It's amazing.
Did you see Planet of the Apes,
new
one?
No.
You didn't see it?
No.
It's fucking good, Joey. It's fucking good.
I enjoyed it.
I know you wouldn't go see The Mechanic. You wouldn't go see the... Was it Jason Statham? It was Jason Statham. Yeah, was the mechanic. You wouldn't go see that out of respect for Charles Bronson.
But when it was on television, I caught the first 10 minutes of it on Showtime, and I was correct.
You were correct?
They blew it.
As good, but let me tell you something. That dude who played the bad guy, the dude who played his apprentice, that motherfucker is wicked. He was in that stupid vampire movie, 30 Days of Night. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Good fucking movie.
He ain't no Jan Michael Vincent in 1973.
You're right.
Jan Michael, throw a picture of Jan Michael in 1973. He was taking his dick out on Wilshire Boulevard, and they would line up to Sunset to suck that blonde hair. Especially after the movie he did, that Baby Blue Marine. Come on now. And then they put him with the ugliest man in Hollywood, Charles Bronson.
And he went crazy, right?
Yeah, he looks like a fucking truck hit him.
He went nutty.
Yeah, poor guy. He was in Malibu eating pills, drinking cocktails, telling people he was a pilot.
They say that that's the place to go if you want to eat pills. If you want to be like a rich old person that eats pills, Malibu's your spot. Like, everyone in Malibu's like, you know, there's like a bunch of refugees from Hollywood that are older and just chewing pills now. Like, littered in between people who like to jog and ride bikes. There's like just people staring at the ocean, just popping pills all day.
You know what the worst thing about those pills are?
What?
How long they stay in your system and how you don't feel it while you're eating those things. Not till you get off those things. Like when you get a prescription, you get a knee surgery, I feel bad because America doesn't really know this. You didn't eat your Vicodins after your surgeries.
No, I don't like that stuff.
You'd rather take a leave because you know. You know what it does to you. It destroys your system. It eats apart your fucking stomach lining. You got to eat tons of fucking yogurt with them. Pills are a slow fucking death in this country. Mm. And people have no idea. I didn't, but I was never really an opiate guy. I ate some Valiums when I snorted some Coke to get the dick going. You know, you ate some Gorilla Biscuits. But there's people who eat those. Like that thing you always talk about, that Florida Road. That
yeah.
documentary about Florida.
The OxyContin Express.
You had no fucking idea. I told you, dog, I did a 16th one time. My blood pressure went up. I had to lay down. Those things are different. That synthetic heroin ain't the best thing in the world for you. You might as well put it off the street and do a little bump. Synthetic heroin is made not to fucking addict you, but to fucking destroy you. You know, it's like cocaine. It's like now. I go to places. I really enjoy getting high, Red Band. I really do. But guess what? When you show up with a fucking dab and a pipe and a fucking torch and shit like that, it's time for you to stop. Why does everybody always want to make crack out of everything?
Oh, I know.
First they did it to Coke. You just couldn't snort Coke no more. Now I got to mix it with gasoline and fucking toenails, put it in a jar with paint, and smoke it. No, that's not strong enough.
Well, that's what people are always doing. It's
just amazing.
If
now,
you blow him, he wants to stick it in your ass.
Now, yeah, well, you got a good point there, at least a finger. But now, you know, they got so much fucking weed stuff coming at you. And it's great, but I still like rolling a fucking joint. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I still like rolling a joint. Right.
I like,
done.
You know what I like about rolling a joint, man? I like the
karma, the energy. It's
the energy of it. It's like the,
you try the paper.
I wanted to say the celebration of it, but it's not the celebration. The ritual. That's
the
what
ritual.
I wanted. I was
it's
looking
a
for.
Great fucking
I like the
time.
Ritual of, like, here we go. Like, I'm preparing for it. I'm getting it rolled up.
Let's smoke some right now.
In Florida, this is the craziest statistic ever. We've read it before, but if you haven't heard that podcast, Florida prescribes 10 times more oxycodone pills than every other state in the country combined.
They're fucking eating.
Damn.
Oxycontin down there.
That's a scary, scary thing that those pills have, like, taken over so strongly.
Add the blow in there. Add the blow concept to this now.
Oh, Florida's, like, so medicated.
You've got Oxycontins everywhere now. You're adding blow to that shit, too.
Wouldn't it be cool if they had an app to show where people are sober? If, like, your app, like, if you hold your phone, it tells you if you're on heroin. And just, you look, I got a map. Like, we were looking at that porn map, all the cream
right.
pies and all that shit. Find out what percentage of Florida is not on pain pills right now. Ready, go.
We are not hip enough, but I guarantee that we're 3 years behind. That there is somebody right now moving kilos of cocaine online through UPS or whatever one of those systems and nobody even knows, and a delivery system.
Well, you know about Silk Road. Have you heard about Silk Road?
I don't know
Road?
Nothing about nothing, but I'm just saying that there's got to be somebody selling coke on Twitter.
Well, there was an article about it. There's an article about a website that somehow or another is able to transact illicit deals, and people send poop senders.
Yeah, if you want to buy any poop, they got gorilla poop, cow poop, elephant crap, gorilla poop.
Why would anybody want to buy poop? What? Look up,
skin.
See if there's what is that Silk Road thing? That's the thing that everybody are talking.
You
can't look
it
up.
Well, yeah,
shouldn't
you have
talk
to change
about it.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't.
Don't talk about it. Whatever. It's too late. People know about it. The government knows about it. It's all over the news.
BedBathAndBeyond.com.
Yeah, something like that. But there's ways that people are doing it where they're figuring out how to. But I mean, how long are they going to be able to do that? And then what happens if somehow in the future, you know, they can go back retroactively and, like, look up the database of who bought heroin or whatever through this fucking crazy website.
Would you sign on as Joe Rogan?
Of course.
No, you would not.
Believe me.
No, you would not. So anybody who's going to buy heroin online is going to be a little crafty. If
you're going to hide your name. It's like if you're going to be a commenter on YouTube, you're not going to go on there as Joey Diaz and say crazy shit about Taylor Swift.
If you have a Mac and, you know, you have a you know, I think you're controlling your heroin use. You could quick a fucking switch, and 20 minutes later, some guy delivers it to your door. Now, you know them, but this is the new way. You don't even have to call no more.
It seems like once there's a desire for something, it's impossible to stop people from figuring out a way to get it to people, especially if it's illegal. And it only makes sense that they'd be using the internet, right?
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It's brilliant.
There's no way else. I mean, it's going to happen, right? I mean, it's not like anybody's going to hide that shit. Speaking of hiding that shit, listen to this. There was a dude in China that got arrested. He went to jail because he convinced a girl that her vagina was haunted and that he had to get rid of the ghost with his penis. So they arrested him for this. They arrested him after he claimed that he could get rid of it. The paranormal enthusiast allegedly charged $3,250 to perform the sexorcism.
What a brilliant man.
Come on, man. That dude is a pimp, and you're hating. You're hating on that guy.
I give that guy the key to the city, Doug. That's a fucking... You talk a woman into telling her there's a ghost and a monkey. You're a fucking genius.
Not and you just gotta solve a ghost. It with your cock. She's got to give him money.
That's a great
genius. Idea. It's a brilliant...
Not even fuck up, but give him money to... I want to see what this girl looked like. There's got to be a picture of this dummy.
Not so far. I don't really want to see her picture. I'll be sad. Poor gal. His name was Huang Jian Huan.
Brilliant.
Huang, H-U-A-N-G, G-I-A-N.
Got A's in grammar school, dog. He was that little Chinese dude in the back that got fucking A's and everybody threw fucking paper clips at.
Look, he's a gangster.
And, look, and now he's getting his dick sucked and getting paid.
Oh.
That really is funny, man.
That is classic. That's classic type shit.
Explained the ghosts in her vagina were preventing her boss from falling in love with her. Oh, my God. Check this. So she must have come to him and said, I want my boss to fall in love with me. And so she was a conniver, man. So he convinced her because the ghosts in her vagina were preventing her boss from falling in love with her. Holy shit. A ghost that he could easily catch with his penis. How could you fucking arrest that guy? Come on, man.
Because they don't have high five there?
That's rude. Arresting this guy for that is rude. You should be able to go to court and you say, well, Your Honor, what I told her was that her vagina was haunted, and the only way she's going to be able to steal her boss away from his wife is if she let me fuck her and catch the ghost with my dick. Get the fuck out of my court. You'd be like, get your lunchbox and get the fuck out. You wanted to sue him for what? You thought that was true? You thought really he was going to get the ghost out with his dick? Get the fuck out of my car.
How can you call the cops and tell them this shit with a straight face? Listen, I got to arrest a guy. He stuck his dick in my fucking whatever and told me I had a ghost in there.
Okay. He fucking totally lied to me. And I guess it's the money. It was the $3,250 that they had a problem with.
Right there.
But meanwhile, how can they prove it?
She probably wrote a check.
How can they prove it? How can they prove that he didn't get the ghost out?
Smell it.
Ectoplasm? Smell it?
Smell it.
See if it smells haunted.
If it smells like a shoe.
It could be a rigged game, though. She waits right till you start and she farts right in your face.
No, they can't fart out like that. It's a fucking crazy world out there, dog. You can talk people into anything.
Well, you can definitely talk some people into almost anything.
Into anything. Go to a farmer's... Go to a farmer's market on Sunday. Just pick somebody. Any of those Laurel Canyon farmer's market, just stay in the back. There's always one.
Go to Burning Man.
Oh, they got the hat on, the whole fucking thing.
How many, how many people do you think you could talk into joining a cult if you went to Burning Man?
Three.
You could have three. You could walk out of there with them in a leash.
I got to have a plan. I got to have a plan where to take them, you know, why the reason why they have to suck your dick, to drink from the anointing of the sick, the whole thing. They got to, you know. You gotta have a plan. You just can't go to Burning Man and drop knowledge on bitches. You gotta have a plan.
Well, you have to have a little bit of a plan, but then from there you can make it up as you go along.
And it's tremendous because you could get a soldier, and then his girlfriend, and then his girlfriend, and then you recruit two chicks and some other fucking momo, and you're off and running. One of those idiots is a trust fund baby.
Right, at
so
least
you could
one.
Talk, listen, so what can you get from your dad? Well, he's such a pig. You know, he makes condoms and cigarettes and he sells them
he's
to little
banker,
Chinese
he's
kids.
He's a banker. He's an asshole.
Yeah. He's an asshole. I could probably get 10,000. Okay, get 10,000. And we'll get
yeah, I wonder how many of those people like pretend to be kidnapped so that their dad has to send money.
Bro, I lived in Boulder and I remember kids coming to me and going, listen, give me a week. I've got to come up with 7,500 for my... I remember them saying they'd work their dads. And then they'd walk around poor, telling people they're poor, and my God, this is so hard living in Boulder. Meanwhile, they're driving a fucking Volvo with an airbag, the whole fucking deal.
Well, I know a dude who's really rich who drives like beat up cars because he grew up rich,
yeah.
And he has a pickup truck, so he drives a pickup truck on purpose, like he wants to think that he's like a country guy.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just trying to make it in this here big city. he's been a millionaire since he was like a baby.
That's the people you gotta be scared of. Those are the people you got to be scared of.
Well, I think someone growing up in that kind of environment, if you grew up with, like, I mean, name the name. super rich, multi-billionaire parents living on yachts and, you know, flying away to boarding school. Like, your reality is so bizarre. Like, your reality of, like, the potential of your future. If you grow up and your parents are weapons manufacturers, and your parents have an island off of Greece, and, you know, and the dad flies out there in a G5, and they're selling machine guns to Saudi Arabia.
Like, you do breakfast at the president's house. You do breakfast at fucking Clinton's, and you shoot your guns with Clinton, and Bush comes over, and he brings somebody tied up, and you shoot him. Bro, that's, you know, I can't even fucking imagine. I can't even fathom that, you know, being that. But just think of where, yeah, you're right. You're
well, reality. I've been there, Joey Diaz.
I know you have.
Bohemian Grove. I filmed them worshiping Moloch the Owl God. Have you seen that video that he did?
No.
He did a video of him live from Bohemian Grove. It was like Alex Jones, one of his first videos. They really do. He's right. They really do have like a ritual that they do there. If you find it online, I guarantee it's up there. Alex Jones live in Bohemian Grove. They find, he goes there, and these dudes, they're in front of this gigantic stone owl, and they have these sticks, and they say they're going to burn these sticks like it's an effigy. I guess the idea behind that is that the sticks are supposed to represent a sacrifice, and in the old days, they actually used to take a person and light them on fire. This is Alex Jones. He's much younger. I was there, ladies and gentlemen, hiding in the bushes, watching this satanic ritual take place with your tax dollars. And these dudes put on robes, and they go out there with torches.
That's Eyes Wide Shut. That's the same shit.
Illuminati. Don't fuck with the music, or the sound, rather. Listen to this. Now, come on. This is
crazy.
This is fucking beyond crazy because this is real. So, I mean, this is no wonder Alex Jones is so crazy. If you went there live and you saw this, you would believe that anything is possible. If there's some dude to have a bundle of sticks, and is there a woman that they're pretending that they're going to sacrifice? Is that the idea? Is there a woman who's like tied up there? I wish I knew the whole story.
Well,
see, it looks like they got like a person that they're going to pretend to sacrifice, then they burn these sticks. And it's like, what? Like, just knowing that that's real.
This is in Texas?
I don't know.
Seems like it would be.
Let's look it up. Bohemian Grove.
Hold on, listen to the soundtrack.
This is amazing.
This is the soundtrack of death right here. Listen to this.
No, it's in California. Oh, my God.
Wow,
that
it
makes
sounded
sense.
So southern, though. Like, you're like...
Did it? It sounded, you know...
Where'd this happen? Tell me where this happened so I can avoid this fucking neighborhood. Where'd this happen? Past Visalia, right?
Somewhere in Northern California.
Yeah, this is past Visalia before San Francisco. You'll kill it, You pull over for a taco, they're done.
Alex Jones of Bohemian Grove, live famous footage. This is what tuned me into the Illuminati, ladies and gentlemen. There was a dark time before that where they hid in the shadows. Wow. This is real. That's so strange. I mean, even if it's just for a goof, if people go, oh, you're just misconstruing what's going on there. The idea is just for fun. What kind of an asshole stands around in a robe waiting for all this stupid shit to take place? Like, this is taking place for over, like, 15, 20 minutes, and they're all in orderly line, like, waiting on this in this very weird ritual. Like, who would want to participate in this? So the idea is that there's a Washington Post article about it.
If they had better music, it would be cool. I mean, like, look at that. There's a bunch of fire and people dressed up and smoke.
But they're not even moving. It's not like they're dancing. Like, what if they had great music and they're just standing still?
See, that's so much better.
That's going to get us pulled from YouTube. You fuck. The digital signatures, goddammit.
I scrambled the signal. Didn't you hear it?
Oh, yeah. So there's an article here in the Washington Post about this Bohemian Grove thing. And these guys are standing around these gigantic redwood trees and shit, and they're all these like really super rich guys. It says two future U.S. presidents, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, are pictured with Harvey Hancock, not to be confused with Herbie Hancock, or was that the guy, the love bug? No. What? Herbie Hancock was the musician, right? Harvey Hancock standing and others at the Bohemian Grove in the summer of 1967. Wow, this is amazing. Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon.
Check this out. Nixon said in his Watergate tapes, He said, if I were to choose the speech that gave me the most pleasure and satisfaction in my political career, it would be the Lakeside speech at the Bohemian Grove in 1967. Because this speech traditionally was off the record and received no publicity at the time. But then he said, the Bohemian Grove that I attended from time to time, the Easterners and the others came there, and it became the most faggy goddamn thing you could ever imagine. Richard Nixon.
Nixon said that?
Yeah. That San Francisco crowd that goes there, it's just terrible. I mean, I won't shake hands with anybody from San Francisco.
Nixon said that?
Yeah.
Nixon was such a terrible human being. Look at this picture of this photo of Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon talking to this guy. It's really strange. Like, they really do have a place where, like, these old, rich, elite guys get together and sit down and talk about shit. Like, they really did have places like that where they would meet up in these special locations. Like, that idea has always been, like, this wacky conspiracy theory thing, that the elites get together and they meet and they wear robes. But, no, they fucking really do. Like, look at that. Look, they're hanging around in a forest. And Nixon and Ronald Reagan are there with their dinner jackets on.
Colonel Sanders and a couple other people.
It looks like John Wayne in the lower right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like a little John Wayne-ish. Bunch of weird old dudes. So strange. It's going to be like...
fucking black dude.
Not one, of course not. It's going to be like long after these guys are gone. Like long, I mean, obviously Reagan and Nixon are both gone now, but I mean like long, long after anybody who's alive now. In the future, we're going to have like just a sort of a whisper of what happened there.
Right.
You know.
Well, somebody's going to find the letter. There's got to be proof, a picture, a photograph of something.
Something. Somebody's going to write some crazy shit down.
Who that chick was in that picture in 1957. She was never seen after that night.
Tucked away in an attic somewhere. Yeah. It'll all be hearsay. 2,700-acre compound. It's 2,700-acre compound in Monte Rio, California, for 2 weeks of heavy drinking, super-secret talks, druid worship. The group insists that they are simply revering the redwoods and other rituals. Their purpose, to escape the frontier culture or uncivilized interests of common man. Wow. This is the fucking Washington Post who wrote this. The people that gather at Bohemian Grove, who have included prominent business leaders, former U.S. presidents, musicians, and oil barons, are told that weaving spiders come not here, meaning that business deals are to be left outside. One exception was in 1942 when planning for the Manhattan Project took place at the Grove, leading to the creation of the atomic bomb. God damn! Joey Diaz. Answer me this truthfully. How hard did that edible kick in about 15 minutes ago?
I have no idea.
He thinks you're talking about Bohemian Rhapsody.
He got to a certain point where I saw him check out. I saw his eyes roll back, and I'm like, oh, okay.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I've been good all
day. Is it a Chibachu? Did Chibachu take
you
to deep waters?
Yeah.
What's the 70 what? What is
70
it?
70 milligrams of the pain. I took a couple of those.
70 milligrams. What is a normal dose? It's like 10?
20, 30.
70?
70 is nothing. It's 175 is the Deca.
175.
That's 175, the one that makes people fucking cringe.
That's scary, right? That's a scary one.
Yeah, that's a whole...
That's too scary. Nervous.
That's a little too real.
You're making me nervous.
Life becomes too real.
I saw that movie trailer that was pulled that you were in.
Yeah,
that looked really good, actually.
Yeah, pulled everything.
You had a great line in it.
What movie trailer?
Fucking everything, dog.
I'm not going to say what it is.
What are you talking about?
Joey Diaz in this picture.
No, what are you talking about from movie deal?
Some movie trailer shit that they put up.
What is it?
They took it down. The De Niro movie.
Why'd they take it down?
I have no idea. Warner Brothers took it down.
But they put it up? Or somebody else put it up?
I don't know.
It was a leaked trailer.
Oh, how do you leak a trailer?
Somebody that's paid to edit it gets paid $10 an hour and he just puts it online or something like
that.
It's amazing.
So he made his own trailer?
It's amazing how
he gets paid to do it and he's probably at home sitting in Burbank doing
so
it. You know?
I got the story. It's something fucking unique. When like the high level people who rob those movies, they don't rob the movie from the movie theater with the camera no more.
No.
They rob them. They tap into Warner Brothers or Fox or Sony. They tap in like the week before the movie gets released. Or a month before it gets released, they take the movie out. It's backwards. It travels backwards. They have to unwind it, whatever. Boom! Back in business.
Is that what they do? So they break into the FTP sites?
The movie is out before the movie's out.
Yeah.
The movies in this country come out 3 days before you go see them on Friday.
Some of them do.
If you go into any big market, Detroit, New York, with fucking this badass motherfuckers, Tuesday you could get whatever movie you want, even though the movie's not coming out till Friday.
Do you remember when you used to be able to buy them on the street? And they were these VHS
That's
tapes.
How I bought Pop
Fiction. They had a cover that was a copy of the real cover, and it was like obviously like a printer piece of, you know, like a common computer printer copy.
I made good, maybe allegedly made great money selling Pulp Fiction bootlegs on campus.
You know, I've never bought a fucking illegal film. I was always scared to stop for those things. I don't know why. Especially in New York City, I was always, just don't stop.
Yeah, it's a sketchy
just eliminate the whole fucking problem. You know,
there's a lot of times I bought them and they were empty. There was nothing there.
I knew guys in the 70s that were taking boxes like Crazy Eddie and putting fucking bricks in them. And wrapping them at home, and they're in a corner, and all of a sudden you pull up, and you're like, what do you got? And they're like, speakers, $50, they're $200 at the thing. You're not going to unwrap them. They're wrapped. You're going to put them in your car, you go home, you get two fucking bricks.
Yeah, that was real common. The pulling up and asking if you want to buy some stereo equipment.
Hey, we
had some extras.
Yeah, I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing. Go keep driving. You know, they had that Crazy Eddie story. That was brilliant.
It's a weird thing about urban environments, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're in cities. Like, people are always, there's always a scam that's getting run.
But I knew there was one point where the scam went sour. There was one point where I heard, you hear shit that people were selling thermoses and the glasses broke. You know, and then you just say, fuck it. Why even start going? I might get a great deal or I might get bullshit. Then I got to go back looking for the fucking guy the next day for $8. Is it really worth the aggravation, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember going back to New York in 94 after I got divorced, and a friend of mine goes, I got a job selling cars. I needed that. And he goes, how much money you got? I got about $600. He took me to a building, bro. He took me to a building in Harlem that the top two floors were like going into the Gap.
Wow.
And the original clothes were on there with the original prices, and it was like 75% off, and you got it. So I remember for like $600 getting three suits and a pair of shoes and two dress shirts or something. You know, nice suits. Like, wow. Like, you know, because they're selling them for a third. Somebody robbed them off a truck. But they had blenders in there. They had TVs. They had tables. They had everything. Everything was brand new. If it, you know, it was probably headed to IKEA or something like that. Who the fuck knows?
Wow.
They had buildings in New York. When I was growing up, they'd pull up. But there were guys in the neighborhood that you knew had a job at APA Trucking. Or one of those things, one of those trucking firms, and they get shit every fucking Thursday. They get shit every fucking Thursday when like a big when I was a kid, fucking the trains would move Honda Mini Trails. Honda Mini Trails were the best motorcycle you could buy for a kid who didn't have balls. It was 50 cc and it was automatic. I had one. I bought one for reals. My mother bought me one for reals. And then we found out that you could steal them off the train that came through Erie Lackawanna. And you would go down there, and somebody would jump on the train, break the seal, take the shit off, throw it into the weeds, and then somebody would have to come back with a truck. Because in those days, you put those together. They didn't come built. The tires were on. The bottom was on, but you got to put the seat on. You got to put the steering wheel on. You got to put all that shit on them. It's amazing, dog. So we found out when they were coming in, and you'd take three or four of them, keep one, sell three of them. There were 200 retail, so that meant they were probably $85.
Wasn't that like a big amount of profit for like some organized crime in New York? Because they could steal things off the docks and then resell them someplace.
Yeah, that's it. It costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. You could sell it for whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
You know, you could undercut everybody. Why do you think stealing cocaine in the 80s is so popular? Because I control the market. I just got 30 kilos that you're going to pay 44. I'm going to sell for 32.
When was the last time anybody ever offered you to buy something that was stolen? Yeah. Soon as I moved to California, it stopped.
Really? Well, yeah. As soon as you moved there.
Well, you stopped talking to the Boon Shakalaka.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I just bought. He had two dildos the other day, and I'm like, wow, these are like brand new.
Is Boon Shakalaka or the other guy?
The guy with the lighters. Guy. No. Remember Boon
who's
Shakalaka?
The guy with, but who's the guy with the lighters?
That's.
You got another crazy name.
Yeah, fuck.
God damn it.
Is he still around?
Yeah, I just saw him the other day.
No, he's not still around.
Yeah, he hangs out at the Rainbow now, but and Mel's. But Boon Shakalaka like had this dildo, and I'm like, wow, this looks like brand new. And I'm like, but it's not. Why am I touching it? What the fuck?
Do you remember that Kinison talked about the Roxy way back, or the rainbow, way back in his fucking HBO special. Oh, yeah. That's how crazy the rainbow's been.
Did you see the Sunset Strip movie I told you about? No. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Sunset what? Strip just came out on Showtime On Demand. I think you could also get it on iTunes. It's a documentary about Sunset Strip starting from the beginning, all the way through the mafia, all the way through Ciro's. It goes through into all this shit about the hooker houses that were everywhere. I had no idea about, like, there was, like, whatever, like houses that rich people would go to and just had tons of hookers in it. And it talks about everything, and you go by it, and you're just like going by these buildings that you go by every day, and like, holy shit, that was the hooker house.
Then, okay, yeah, it came out in 2012. It got mad reviews, man.
Oh, it's got amazing people in it.
It's got an amazing review online. It says a documentary of the famous Los Angeles street. Wow, yeah. So, yeah, it's got 5 stars or 4 stars here. Yeah, I'm getting that shit tonight. Is it available on iTunes?
Yep. It's really well done. There's a lot of people in it. And
if there is a place in like the world that I've ever been to that I feel like is haunted with the memories of the past, not necessarily haunted, but haunted with the memories of the past, it's that area.
Yeah. They talk about that a lot.
The haunted aspect
of it? Yeah, and they talk about how it used to be like not poppy fields, like something weird. Here's actually
before it was Ciro's?
Yeah. Sunset Boulevard, famous boulevard, glorified in movies, song, Ciro's. And story.
Where are you walking? I'm seeing you.
And they go through a lot of comedy.
Wow.
From Doheny to Crescent Heights, there's a lot of ghosts.
I believe in sacred places, and I believe that this is. It's a sacred place.
That strip is like where you leave and where you come back.
This is where it all started, you know.
The feeling is still there. It's a very, yeah, you can almost taste it.
It was about titillation and sex.
Hollywood itself is a magnet. It has great feminine appeal, sexual appeal. And the strip is kind of the personification of that.
Your dreams can start out there, and your dream will end there, you know, if you don't watch your shit. You will die that night, and it will be because
he's
of
too talking
whatever
weird.
Dream you're chasing.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he was talking to that other guy, and it was just a weird combo.
Who was the other guy? Johnny Depp?
No, I think it's that guy that's also a comic.
God damn, this looks amazing.
My last opening here.
Could not have happened any place else.
And don't you ever forget it, you fuckers.
It was so alive, honestly. I mean, it was so
Chateau Marmont,
kids,
Viper Room.
Because your war is now in effect.
Nobody would ever come by and be like, "You guys can't do that here. Are you crazy?"
It seems like this is a place where people sort of come for refuge.
Sunset Strip is a civilization for the brokenhearted, the mistreated, the overlooked, the underloved, and the doomed. If you're gonna die, you might as well die here. Die in front of all of us.
Why is that guy makeup on?
We'll write songs.
I think
about
it's like the mayor of Sunset Strip or something weird like that.
But why is he?
I don't know.
Okay. Wow. That looks badass,
yeah,
though. That looks
really
badass.
Good.
I just realized how fortunate I am to have been able to perform there. Like, it just hit me like Jesus.
You think you'd go back?
I go to Laugh Factory from time to time.
Would you go back to the store?
No.
Never?
No.
What if you guys came with me?
No.
What the fuck would that have to do with
I'm just kidding.
What are you? Are you a Ghostbuster?
Yeah.
I go to Dom's show on Tuesday.
Yeah, Dom's show on Tuesday is great. Well, he does his, has a fun thing he does. It's not just stand up. He fucks around with the crowd a lot, you know.
He tortures them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He lets people. Well, he's great at that, you know. And he does his podcast from there too sometimes, you know. I did the podcast. I did it once with Jamie Masada. Once! Once.
I got to call him.
God, that'd be so. If you guys went back to the Comedy Store, like, seriously, that would be one of the most amazing things ever. Just like having like the Rogan Diaz Tuesday spot, like in the main room, sold out every week. And
it's not happening.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, but why would we do it there? We could do it at the Ice House tomorrow night. Boom! Whoa. Joey Diaz is doing his podcast there. And then boom, I'm there with Eddie Ift and Brian Callen. Sweet. Tomorrow, 10 p.m. Ice
be
House
there,
Pasadena.
Bitches.
You see, the difference is the energy at the Ice House is all like there's a long history of it, and there's also what we bring there. And what we've been bringing there, there's plenty of spirits at the Ice House, son. It's just not negative. There's no murdered people. There's no like holes in the fucking basement covered in cement with dead people. Okay, that, but what people don't realize, we're not exaggerating. It was Ciro's nightclub. It was owned by Bugsy Siegel. I mean, Bugsy Siegel, I mean, that guy was a gangster. That guy had to have killed people. That's back when you could just kill people.
Yeah.
And that dirty, crazy street, that nutty energy that that place has, it only makes sense that people died there.
The piano player, Jeff Scott, recently posted on his Facebook the tunnel going underneath the street where they used to like take the bodies underneath to where it used to be
Crest Hill.
Yeah.
To the house. Yeah. The house. Of, yeah, that yeah. was, well, I don't know if it's true, but that was the rumor always, was that in the back of the main room, there was a doorway to a tunnel, and the tunnel led up the hill to Crest Hill where the mansion was, because they were, the property was sold together. Allegedly. But that's like one of those things, like fucking Ichabod Crane.
Well, there is a tunnel. But
is there? Is that sure? Yeah. That's true?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
shit
down there.
You can go see it right now.
If they have a tunnel, somebody died. That's all you need to know. They
There's
have
a lot of shit down there. There's a room down there that goes this way.
Yeah.
And it cuts across, and they could keep going to different things. There's a lot of shit
the
down
shooting,
there.
The shooting holes.
Well, one of the ideas in this Questions Everything show was to go and spend the night at a haunted house. And I was thinking, there's no better place to stay.
Basement
the comedy
of the
store.
Basement of the Comedy Store too.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. That would shit my pants. Carl DeBoe used to tell a story on stage about how a time where when he was young, we'll have him come in here and tell it someday. When he was young, he was staying at the store, and he's at the store like his wife kicked him out or something like that, and he was forced to stay at the store, so he's sleeping on the stage. It's like, this, I'm here to make my dreams happen, man. I'm not letting some chick get in my way, so I'm just gonna lie down here. And he said he was lying down. He told it on stage. It was like a Halloween show we had in the main room. It was fucking great. And he was like, and so I'm on stage, and I hear clink, 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 like there's chairs moving. It is pitch black. And I'm like, hey, it's me, Carl. You know, I had had nowhere else to stay. Silence. This is when he was a doorman back then, you know, like right before Kinison had even made it. And he said he heard another clink, clink, like he heard another chair. And they said, and then out of nowhere, two hands grabbed his legs and dragged him to the edge of the stairs.
Oh.
And he said there was no one there. He said he didn't see anything. By the time he got up, he scrambled. The person, whatever it was, just disappeared. And he said he freaked out, ran out of there. It's a great story.
It could have been easily been Boon Shakalaka. You
know? I saw Kennison there. I saw Kennison there one night.
Did you really?
I saw Kennison there one night.
You saw him perform there?
No, I saw him by the belly room going up the stairs one night.
What do you mean? You saw a ghost? You're shaking your head, yes.
Did it come out of a pussy?
Nah, I'm sitting there watching. I was up next.
Did you use your dick as an actress?
I was up next to the other two, and I was standing by that thing there, and I kept seeing there's a light on the top of the belly room. There's a big red light, dog. And right. You're there watching the comic. And I had like two away, so it was that comic and one more before me. And I was watching, waiting, killing time, and I kept seeing something keep going past my eye. You see the light.
How many days did you be awake?
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. Right. I didn't do blow and go on stage. I did blow when I got off stage. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is this light? And finally, I look up. You know how he wore that stupid long jacket?
Yeah.
It was like I saw the tail end of the jacket. I went upstairs. There was nobody up there, dog. I saw it. I saw it with my own two fucking eyes. I never felt nobody. I never got chased. Nobody pulled me. Dice has a story where he was upstairs and they heard them banging on the door. Crazy. Corey Cuomo has a story where she heard music in the fucking main room, like old band music, like the Titanic type music.
Who was the older guy that was a veteran? Brett, something right now.
I don't know. A lot of people heard different things there. Yeah. You know, I never got touched or pulled. I know that the original room has a weird energy, and you're right. The Sunset Strip does have something special.
There's something there.
There's something there. There's
no
something
doubt
about that. There's something that points at that Comedy Store. The big mistake they're gonna do is they're gonna knock that down and build something over it, and it's gonna be like a Carrie movie. The hands are gonna come out of the ground. And, you know, I mean, that's the truth, guys. There's something there. Somebody committed suicide there. People gave their lives there. How many people died and didn't make it as comics? And I'm fucking sure it's haunted.
Well, how about the guy who jumped off the roof?
Sure, that fucking place is haunted.
Remember they had the strike?
Yeah, sure, it's haunted. That's, you know, that building in Gardner, all those buildings. People on those buildings, bro. People that are straight, legit people say, this block is haunted on Gardner, behind El Compadre.
Yeah, no doubt.
All those buildings there, they're haunted. How many people killed themselves in those buildings coming out here? Look at this fucking young kid that iced himself last week from a Disney show. 29 years old, he's on fucking Rizzouli and Isles. The fucking black kid, 29 years old with a shotgun. I go to do the podcast with Lee, I go to make a right, and there's cops all over my fucking corner. He lived in that fucking building there.
Oh, really?
What possesses people? He wasn't on drugs, that kid. I used to go down to One Hop Kendo with that kid. What possesses people to do that shit? No, who knows?
Gay.
That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood.
Gay shame.
You know, how many? Judy Canciotti's back.
She's
at the Ha Ha Cafe. Why would Judy Canciotti try to make a comeback?
Don't say she's gonna sue you.
I don't give a fuck.
She sued Don Barris.
Oh, dude, I just saw her and Don Barris
back,
a fight that lasted like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's
screaming
horrid.
Screaming and yelling.
These people come out here and they get crazy, man. And you know, I'm very happy. I was talking to Graham Elwood, called us, invite us to the podcast convention, and I go, Graham, do you know that me and you were the same manager in 2000? We're still here. Whether we're fucking rich or successful or we're on a TV show, we're still here. No car crashes. We haven't OD'd. We're here. How fucking lucky are we, dog?
Oh, we're very lucky to have gone through what we've gone through.
At the store and having a great time in the comedy. That I just saw that I had goosebumps. I'm a fucking fat ex-felon from North Bergen, New Jersey. I was at the comedy store doing blow, developing, getting better, seeing the fucking world, walking to the store, walking from the Union on Tuesday night to the store, and walking back to the Laugh Factory.
Remember we used to walk the Standard all the time?
To the Standard, eat the blue cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Fucking delicious. Come
on.
This
is incredible.
I remember that fucking idiot that sold the lighters. The first weekend.
That's the guy, yeah.
Yeah, the first weekend.
Monkey Balls.
The first Monday I was ever here, I walked into the fucking comedy store and Don Barris put me on stage. Thank God I knew Eddie Griffin. He put me on a Monday night. Don Barris still had the shorts on, still had the balloons on.
Wow.
And the next day they told me to go to the Laugh Factory. That's where you went on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And you stood on line all day and you did 3 minutes. And I stood on line all day. Guess who was on line with me all day? Monkey Balls. And he knew the whole history of comedy in L.A., who you had a sign with, who was going to see you. I thought this guy was a master comic, and he went on stage, and he lost his voice. I never laughed so hard in all my life. He went up there, and all of a sudden, all day he's talking, telling stories. Now he's like, me, dying. That was Monkey Balls. Then he became a lighter salesman, and rings and wheels beat him.
Yeah, he always had those lighters with titties in them.
Here's Brian Callen and Don Barris.
Yeah, Brian Callen and Don Barris have this thing where Don Barris pretends to bang Brian Callen in his booty hole. He gets his pants down and everything. And they have this thing. They act it out. And it's so realistic. He presses Callen's mouth against his cock.
Yes.
Like he makes it like he's pulling his cock out and jerks off on him and finishes it. And it's made extra special by the fact that Don Barris, without wearing a costume, is doing this in a jumpsuit. He wears a tracksuit naturally. Like, it's not like he dressed up for this role where he could pull his cock out really easy. No, it's a part of his thing. And on top of that, Don Barris is rumored to have a cock the size of your arm.
It's huge.
That's what I understand. That's the rumor. Every time he's been about to pull it out on stage, I get out of the room. I don't want to get depressed. That's the one thing, man. I mean, if you don't have a giant dick and another guy has a giant dick, you're like, whoa. Well, what the hell? I mean, you could always get rich. You know, if you make enough money, you could buy a nice house, too. But if a guy's got a giant dick, he's got a giant dick. He's got to,
It was like a year ago or something like that. He had a boner for some reason. And he wanted to show a girl in the audience. And he was just like outlining it with his hand. Like, look how big this is, honey. You know, like he's just like trying to like.
It's like a 12-inch dick, right?
It was huge.
It's a giant fat dick.
Yeah.
It's not a skinny 12 inches either.
Yeah.
It's not like one of those white guys in the movies where it's long, but you're like, yeah, but it's like it's tapered. The beginning, the end of it is like small. It's weird. You know, there's some long dicks that aren't impressive. Don Barris is a dick. It looks like a big German dick. You know, like a big Austrian dick.
Yeah.
Which you'd imagine some fucking hiker would have. Joey Diaz is done. Look at him.
He's thinking about dicks.
He's shaking his head like, yeah, I understand. I got a big dick too, cocksucker.
I need this shit. Talking about Don Barris.
We don't need this shit. If anybody needs this shit, listen, is there any more tickets to you Wednesday night at the Ice House?
Yes.
There are.
626-577-1890, whatever the fuck it
is. So Joey is at the Ice House 8:30,
and then you come on at 10.
Stick around, man. Do a spot. Do a spot next door.
Let's see.
You're not going to. He's not going to do two shows in a night.
No, I'm done.
It's most likely not happening.
I'm going to go home and watch. Oh, Carlos Condit tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night. Martin Campman versus Carlos Condit.
And Dos Anjos against Cowboy Cerrone.
Yes.
Yes. So there's a great fucking card tomorrow night. Then we're going to Milwaukee.
Yes.
And we got a great show at the Paps. There's only 100 tickets left. Yes. It's going to rock. Last time we had six circles of people smoking reefer, bazookas, eating edibles. Somebody made a trade. Black security was going to fucking take Rogan home. They were hugging him and shit.
Oh, they were the nicest people ever.
The nicest fucking people ever.
Those girls, they took care of me. We made a video of it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going to Milwaukee. Thank you for coming out. We're going to have a fucking blast, cocksuckers.
We're
going to
have a great time.
But I'm going to Gotham. On Friday the 13th, Joe Rogan. So you're gonna have to open
don't think that we don't appreciate the fuck out of you guys.
That's right, we do.
You know, we talk about it all the time. We know that we're incredibly lucky and that we're in this weird situation where we have like the nicest, I don't even want to call them fans, the people that come out to these shows, the nicest people, period. Just humans.
Family.
They're just, it's in the atmosphere is just cool as fuck. After the shows, there's a few people get real nervous and their hands get sweaty, and that those they're strange.
I love them. But for the most part, I don't give a fuck. Come on down. We just put the odorant on. Don't be hugging me with a fucking stink bomb under your shirt.
How many times though when you take pictures of dudes, they're just completely sweaty?
I'm sweaty too, so I don't give. And I tell them they when women touch me, I get all nervous. I tell them please don't touch me because I'm sweaty, and they don't give a fuck. So fuck.
They want to touch you.
And you go home and take the shirt off and put it on the couch. The next day, just take a whiff of it. It smells like fucking the chick with the ghost in the Snatch.
That's, yeah, this is the chicks that took care of us last time.
Look at this. This is going to be Boston. Milwaukee, don't fucking sleep on it.
They kept the line going. They kept everybody in line. Because we've been come after shows, we'll meet people. And we've been doing it for forever. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know how it started where we just hang around after shows, but it was a long ass time ago.
It don't matter. We just decided they come and we hang out afterward. That's all. It makes
well, you know what we decided, and we even talked about it. We decided that it's even if we want to leave, like it's way better for them if they get to hang out and take a picture with us and get to meet us. It's a better experience, you know. So that's like it's part of the experience. Is they go to the show, they have a good time, and then you know afterwards we're hang around with them and talk to them and take photos with them. And it's so it's not just you know you're not just we're not just doing a comedy show and then getting the fuck out of there. Like, we appreciate you guys coming as well.
And then when I walk into the UFC, people start yelling, Diaz! And you're like, hi. You're like, no. Come on, you motherfucker.
Those people at the UFC are crazy. And sometimes I have to leave. Like, I do interviews afterwards, and they're screaming, stay! And I'm like, I can't. I gotta go. They're gonna fucking drag me out of here. They'll keep you there forever. They bribe the security and let them get up front.
Oh, no, it's great, man. I love every fucking minute of it. I really do. I like
well, that's the UFC, too. They give a lot of access to fans. That's with those fan expos and Q&As.
Hey, man, it's the way it's supposed to be.
It is the way it's supposed to be.
And now other leagues are learning from Dana White. That's what you got to do to be successful. People want the full experience. People will pay to get fucking arm-barred by Chuck Liddell. And you know what? So would I.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Who if you're a fan. Would,
if you're a fan, who you go to the fan expo, learn how to roll. I don't care whether you're a white belt or brown, but they're not going to kill you. You're going to get one great thing out of it in the picture.
Yeah.
And the memory for life. I can never do that. You know, I went to Willis Reed's basketball camp. There was no pictures then. You didn't take a picture with nobody. You went. It was all from memory. He signed the T-shirt. Big fucking deal.
Carlos Condit had a great video of him sparring with guys, like rolling with guys. He went to an army base.
Yeah.
Rich Franklin's done it, too. They'll go and Benson they'll roll Henderson. With people. Yeah.
Benson Henderson's done it a bunch of times.
Yeah. Henner Gracie did it, too. They go and they'll go to a base.
Ooh,
and
that's right. Frank Mir against Babyface Assassin. Who else is on this card?
Is that Milwaukee?
Yeah, we got a great card. We got my man, motherfucking Clay Guida against, who the fuck is, the Spanish kid, the one that lost to Aldo in Brazil. He's part of Team Alpha Male. Dwayne Bang trains him.
Which one?
Little kid. He lost to Jose Aldo, the knee to the face.
Oh, Chad Mendes?
Chad Mendes is fighting.
Oh, so Clay Guida's fighting 45.
Yeah, he's fighting Chad Mendes. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. We got some good fucking fights this week.
Yeah, I'll read the card off to you right
now. Yeah. Give me the undercard, baby. I don't know what the
fuck. Okay, here we got. Oh, Jesus. We got a lot of shit.
Hit me.
Brandon Vera versus Ben Rothwell.
God damn!
Holy shit.
Yeah,
we got that's a crazy fight, man.
I forgot about that one.
Eric Koch versus Dustin Poirier.
There you go. There you go.
God damn. Barnett versus Mir. Clay Guida versus Chad Mendes. Jamie Varner versus Gleison Tibau.
Oh,
shit. This is a great fucking card.
That's a great fucking card.
And then, of course, the title fight. Benson Henderson versus Anthony Pettis. That is fucking nuts.
Duke Rufus will be there Friday jumping up and down and shit, throwing sidekicks for Jesus.
That's an amazing fight, man. Henderson versus Anthony Pettis is going to be fucking insanity. You know, Pettis has a 56% KO rate. 56%. That motherfucker's a beast.
I forgot he fucked up Joe Lozon. Jesus
yeah,
Christ,
dude,
man.
With a head kick. How about Donald Cerrone? He fucked him up with a body kick.
Yeah, no. It's
he's a his left leg is nasty, man. He's a bad motherfucker. He remember when he hit Cerrone with that crazy knee too, the Showtime knee? He bounces off the cage and pops his knee through a small opening and catches him in the face. That kid's wild, man.
He's wild.
And so's Henderson. Henderson's a fucking beast. He's only gotten better since he won the title. He's only gotten better since he lost the title to Pettis.
He's
an amazing
confident.
Fight.
He's a different fight than when he lost to Pettis, bro.
Yeah, this is going to be
he's
an amazing
fight.
This is going to
be
man.
A great weekend.
This is going to be
I'm
amazing.
I'm excited.
Yeah, this is it's a sick card, sick
I'm
weekend.
Excited.
So we'll see you guys at the Pabst Theater. And
don't fuck around.
We'll see you tomorrow night at the Ice House. And also tomorrow we're going to have a podcast here with the one and only Everlast. And Everlast has released a new new acoustic only CD, and he got the idea from doing it from performing on podcasts, from getting on our podcast and doing it for the first time, performing, you know, acoustic like that and getting this massive reaction. So all the love is what inspired him. Yeah,
he actually pulled me last time he was here. He pulled me into the car and goes, "Brian, I need something to tell you something." And he showed me because supposedly I hope it's still on there, but he said we talked about. I said that you should do like a. How that one song jump up and get down. You should do an acoustic version of that. He's like, no, I hate those songs. But he's like, he played it for me in his car, and he's like, how is this? And I was like, what the?
Awesome. He did it. Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know.
Is that you breaking?
I mean, it's out now, right?
Any laws? No, I think it is out. I think it's out right now. I think it came out today. I think it's out Tuesday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be sick. I like him acoustically. Even better than House Pain.
Me too.
And I think House of Pain's amazing. What is that song, Little Miss America?
Yeah,
that one song
Little
they had?
America.
God damn, that's a good fucking song. And ever since What It's like people like caught his acoustic shit is like way deeper. It's way more emotional and touching. Jump Around's always going to be like an anthem. It's always going to be like a cool
but
song
acoustic,
to hear.
Acoustic, it's awesome. Or the
Can't
one, he, the version he played
it
for me. Can I pump my dates?
Yeah.
I'm going to be with Tony Hinchcliffe September 26th at Stand Up Live at Phoenix, Arizona. And the following day, I'm going to Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, at Woodland's Backyard with Tom Segura, Christina Pajitsky, and Tony and me.
All right, we'll see you Dirty Freaks tomorrow. And may Odin bless you all. We love the shit out of you. See you soon. Sponsors, they can go fuck themselves. They know who they are. Listen, stamps.com, enter in the code word JRE, go to onit.com, use the code word Rogan, audible.com/Joe. We love the fuck out of you guys. We'll see you soon.